Journal. I am Brianna Morello. Excited that you are all with us today. Happy Friday. It's a great day to be here because we got a lot going on over at InfoWars. So thanks again for jumping on with us. But folks, so many headlines over these last few days, and I'm glad that you have all joined us to kind of dissect and go through everything. I've got a great lineup of guests coming to us later in the show. I'm excited for our usual Dan Lyman appearance. Many of you guys know he's an incredible reporter here over at InfoWars, and he's got a lot of stories he's going to break down for us. Plus, Lisa Logan joining the show, as well as Tom Renz and Julio Rojas. You guys, the left, we know, has been a group of domestic terrorists for quite some time, but finally now, the federal government is stepping in and going after these terrorists. And we look forward to talking to Rojas about that because he's dealt with them 101. He's been one of the ground reporters throughout his career going to these riots and trying his best to cover their violence. They've been very violent, obviously, and he's been documenting it for years now. So we look forward to having him on the program to discuss that. Plus, there's a lot of changes being made to organ harvesting in our country. We covered it yesterday on the show. We showed the press conference being held by RFK Jr. Tom Wren's going to dissect all of that with us as well because, folks, it's deeply concerning what's going on in regards to organ harvesting. One group has allegations that they're currently facing that they were actually harvesting the organs of people that were still alive. And now HHS is looking to shut them down so they can't participate in organ donations. Also today, a couple of things that we're going to be watching throughout the day here on InfoWars. President Donald Trump at 11 a.m. is expected to get his intelligence briefing, but at 2 p.m. Eastern time, he is expected, along with members of his cabinet, to attend a memorial service for Charlie Kirk. It's going to be hosted by Turning Point. Obviously, folks, that's going to be a big one that we're going to keep our eyes out on because Erica Kirk, his wife, will be speaking. She was just recently appointed to lead Turning Point. And so we look forward to seeing just that. Plus, at 3 p.m. Eastern time, we're expecting President Trump to begin signing executive orders. We don't know what those orders are. Now, if we could just guess, given the fact that he's been outspoken on Truth Social about designating Antifa as a terrorist organization, it's starting to sound like that's probably where we're heading to with these executive orders today. Now, again, that's speculation, but we're going to see that at 3 p.m. today. So we look forward to just that. It's been a long time coming, and it's sad that it took the assassination of Charlie Kirk to get us to that point. But these left-wing groups are groups that need to be designated as terrorist organizations. They're being funded by people who hate us. And so the reality of it is this is long overdue. So we look forward to seeing what happens. But let me remind you, Marjorie Taylor Greene, the great congresswoman from Georgia, she put forward legislation. She's done it again. She did it in President Trump's first term, then did it again in January of this year. Legislation to designate Antifa as a terrorist organization. But for some reason, there's no movement on that. Now, like I told you guys before, obviously, we're very well aware that this is a violent group. Even Lara Logan yesterday, speaking with Andy Ngo when she filled in yesterday for War Room. And Andy Ngo was an independent journalist who was badly beaten by Antifa. I believe they even threw a concrete shake at his head. And you know, speaking out about this, but he's been one of the very few reporters who's been going after Antifa over the years, covering what they've done. Because folks, many people don't want to talk about it. They don't want to cover it because they know what happens. These people are terrorists and this is long overdue. So I'll be going through that in today's show as well. A lot going on over here on InfoWars. We're excited that you guys are with us. Let me remind you, folks, we only have a couple more days left in the one-year anniversary fundraiser sale going on right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. When you head on over to the alexjonesstore.com, you are going to save so much money for just this week only. All of your favorite items on sale, like your hats, your shirts, they're $25 for this week only instead of the regular $35. And when you spend $75 or more, we're going to give you a free $11 to also spend at the shop. So head on over, support us, indulge in our one-year anniversary fundraiser sale, because it won't be going on for much longer. All right, we got a lot of headlines to dive into, so do not go anywhere. More next.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big...
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. Looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesshow.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy sh! He was right about every step of the way.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to American Journal. We have actually got our very first week with me as your host on American Journal. It's been quite the honor so far. I hope you're enjoying it. If you are, let us know. If you're not, don't let us know. I'm kidding. Sound off, though, on X. You can follow me at Brianna Morello or at InfoWars. We'd love to hear from you guys, so join in on the discussion. But there's a lot that we're diving into, and I wanted to kind of go through a lot of the headlines to make sure that you all at home knew what was going on in the world. Because, folks, the mainstream media will only give you the narrative that they want you to see. Here, we like to expand that a little bit and tell you everything that they don't want you to talk about. So let's dive into the first things that's first. Ilhan Omar, as many of you guys know, she is a hateful congresswoman, someone who is ungrateful, the fact that we brought her into this country, saved her from the dumpster fire that she came from, and we brought her here. And it's infuriating constantly seeing how hateful, how nasty this woman is. Well, now she's going after Charlie Kirk. We haven't even had Charlie Kirk's funeral. And yet this woman is swinging for Kirk. Continuously going out there, making comments that she shouldn't be making, trying to allude to the fact that she thinks he's a terrorist. This one is really infuriating. I know it triggered a lot of people on social media when we all heard Ilhan Omar going out there and talking to a group of people saying that Charlie Kirk's assassination is like an attempt to rewrite history. Take a listen to clip one.
I said that the people who were full of shit were the people who were saying that Kirk was civil.
Thank
you. He was. Yeah. No, that's not true. The person who called for public execution of people he disagreed with is not civil. The person who said you are a black woman, you lack the ability to process thoughts, is not civil. The person who said because I am Muslim, I cannot be in this country because I want to destroy Western society, is not civil. The person who said a 10-year-old should be forced to carry the child of a rapist, it's not civil. You I do believe those of you who are interested in rewriting this hateful man's history are full of shit.
Thank you.
Ilhan Omar is a hateful person, and when she goes out there and pretends to be so brave to call out Charlie Kirk, who's no longer with us, well, folks, we really get to see her true character. She is a hateful person, someone who is here to destroy Western society. The reality of it is what has her group of individuals that have come to this country contributed? The answer is nothing. The answer is nothing. They spew hate speech. They want to take over the United States. They don't actually want to coexist with others. They want us all to adapt to their life, their culture, when we all know it's failed in their own country. Thankfully, President Trump has been calling it out, though, and he has been absolutely fearless, going after Ilmar and other Somalians who continue to come here and push their lies. Trump taking to Truth Social yesterday to call them out because, let's be honest here, folks, Somalia is plagued by a lack of centralized government control, obviously poverty, hunger, terrorism, and so much more. They're corrupt. They've never been able to actually form a real government. And so then these people come to our country, and instead of being thankful for Western society being as civil as it is, the fact that we welcome them into our country and have allowed them to reap the benefits of our ideas, our policy, they come here and they want to destroy us. I don't know why we let these people run for government in the first place. The reality is they come from countries that were unable to actually form legitimate governments. Somalia is a dumpster fire. That's why no one goes there to visit. When was the last time you heard someone take a vacation to Somalia? No one. No one. Because nobody actually wants to be there. But yet we bring them into our country. They come here. They're so ungrateful. They're so hateful. They're so nasty. They don't want to coexist. When was the last time you heard a Somalian say that they want to coexist with Christians, Jews, and all the other religious groups in this country? Never. They want us to assimilate to whatever they want to push onto us. And we're seeing it throughout the country. It's absolutely disgraceful. And they'll use terms when you push back a little bit, when you try to defend our beliefs in this country. But the reality of it is why are we taking advice from failures? From people who are unable to save their own countries. It doesn't just end there. Ilhan Omar has been ripping Charlie Kirk because she's a coward. She's a loser, this woman. She also went on to criticize Kirk for spewing hate speech in clip two.
What I do know for sure is that, you know, Charlie was someone who once said, you know, guns save lives, after a school shooting. Charlie was someone who was willing to debate and downplay the death of George Floyd, in the hands of Minneapolis police.
I think he called him a scumbag.
Right. Have no regard, downplay slavery and what black people have gone through in this country, by saying Juneteenth should never exist. And I think, you know, there are a lot of people who are out there talking about him just wanting to have a civil debate.
A complete rewriting of history.
Yeah, there is nothing more effed up, you know, like than to completely pretend that, you know, his words and actions have not been recorded and in existence for the last decade or so.
Well, guns do save lives. And, George Floyd is a scumbag. Folks, I'm so fed up with them trying to rewrite history because George Floyd was a criminal who overdosed on fentanyl. She doesn't want you to know that though. She doesn't want you calling it out. That's their hero on the left. See, Charlie Kirk was brave enough. Actually, I would say Charlie Kirk was very moderate compared to me, compared to the rest of us. He was the peacemaker. And look how they are still targeting him after his assassination. Ilhan Omar is absolute garbage. She's a trash human being. She will always be a trash human being. And she continues to go out there and pretend like she has some level where she could sit there and criticize others from. Keep in mind, that woman is the same woman who, now we know, married her brother, divorced her brother, got married again, divorced him, then found someone else's rich white husband, ruined that wedding, ruined that marriage, and now she's married to him. Now, the man he's currently married to apparently is a multimillionaire, and her net worth has completely ballooned. And it's outrageous. She's practically living the Somalian American dream, right? Divorce your husband and marry a rich white man. That rich white man who didn't belong to you in the first place, according to the ex-wife, who didn't even know that her husband was leaving her until she learned about the affair. That's according to several reports. So this woman is absolute garbage. She does not come from a place where she could sit here and lecture the rest of us. She's a grown woman breaking up homes. So screw her, screw her criticism, screw whatever she has to say about Charlie Kirk. She doesn't belong in this country. She's a hateful person who contributes absolutely nothing to society. And we could sit here and pretend like she's somehow a good human being if you want to. But she's never contributed anything. She doesn't come here with good ideas. She comes here with hate, rage, and all she's trying to do is destroy this country. You thought Charlie Kirk's criticism was bad. Honey, I'm filtered. I don't want you here. I think you're an absolute garbage human being, and you should not be in this country at all. I'm so fed up with sitting here and listening to these people go after Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk was very moderate next to the rest of us. You see, I would have you deported with all of your friends in a heartbeat. You don't belong here. You hate this country. If you hate this country, leave. And then she comes here with children. Children who hate this country. It's absolutely egregious, and I've just had enough. I've had enough of hearing her talk. I've had enough of sitting here and pretending like we have something in common, like we could unify with these people. We have nothing in common with these people. Nothing. The rest of us are able to coexist with other religions. But there's a reason why she's unable to do so. There's a reason why every time she opens her mouth, it's just nastiness that spews out. President Trump is right. Deport that woman. We don't need her here. Why are we sitting here and pretending like we don't have a solid case of potentially immigration fraud? The Daily Mail laid it out for us. They said that they have concrete evidence to prove that she did marry her biological brother to cheat and get him into this country. So why are we sitting here and pretending like she is some type of credible human being who has earned her seat in the House? And all the cowardly Republicans who refuse to do their job and get her censored, get her tossed from her committee assignments. We're talking about you, Congressman Corey Mills. Weak, weak men. Weak men. You know, Corey Mills doesn't want us to criticize people like Ilhan Omar. And when the reporters over at the Blaze come out with all these reports linking him to radical Islamists, he says your criticism of that just so it shows that you are a racist. Says that we're Islamophobic for criticizing his ties to radical Islam. Now, Corey Mills just happens to be on some very high committee assignments with some very questionable connections to individuals within the Middle East. And he's also got romantic relationships everywhere, which is obviously not something a Christian man would have, right? But talking about what we are talking about, the allegations that he had multiple girlfriends all across the United States that he was lying to while sitting here and pretending to be a Christian man. Doesn't sound like a Christian to me. But he sits here and he tries to guilt the Blaze and all the reporters over there who are trying to criticize him about his ties to Islam while protecting Ilhan Omar. What do you think that is? I wonder. We probably don't have to wonder for long, though. You see, I continuously reach out to Speaker Mike Johnson's office in regards to Corey Mills, because Corey Mills is on some very high committee assignments. Very high committee assignments. Because in case you haven't been following what the Blaze has been doing, they have unearthed a lot of questionable things about Corey Mills' past. Like how a radical Islamist married him off, someone who was high up in the Muslim Brotherhood, married him off into his Iranian wife, who he's still not legally divorced from, but still has multiple women coming forward saying that they are dating him. You see, personal life stuff, normally I wouldn't touch upon. And the only reason why we're touching upon that is because he claims to be a Christian when the Blaze is accusing him of converting to Islam. Now his ties to Ilhan Omar, his defense of Ilhan Omar, his multiple women living in multiple houses, doesn't scream Christianity. Screams Muslim. But again, he's denying those allegations, saying they're false, saying they're politically motivated. Absolute disgrace. Should be removed from all of his committee assignments. Because there's definitely some very concerning issues with him. Now let's switch it up a little bit, because there's a lot of individuals who are out here and they're trying to shift the narrative. Obviously, Jimmy Kimmel's been canceled by ABC, and they're trying to pretend like Jimmy Kimmel was canceled because the FCC somehow got involved. Now, obviously, that's not something that's probably true, and I've reached out for comment from ABC on that. I'll let you know if I do hear back. Because a lot of these left-leaning outlets think that President Trump is the one who's to blame. But is he? Well, you know, we're very, very thankful. But Brandon Carr has been speaking out on the subject matter, and he's calling out the low ratings that were taking place on a lot of these shows that are now being canceled. Let's take a listen.
I think there's a much bigger shakeup that's underway right now. I think people, again, try to focus narrowly on the specifics here. But if you just back up, I think ever since President Trump won the election, it's created a permission structure for markets, including the media market, to rationalize. And again, if you look at the ratings for late-night television, they've been in an absolute nosedive for years. But for some reason, these companies felt like they had to continue to subsidize it. And I think that's ending. And again, I think your viewers get this, but think about the business side of this. You have the national programmers, Disney, that create this content, and you've got individualized licensed TV stations all across the country. And they're required, they've been for years, required to respond to the needs of their local communities and viewers. And I think it was those local communities and viewers that were saying, you know, we don't like this stuff anymore. And so Nexstar was the first mover here. So
they just don't want to accept blame. The reality is most Americans don't like what's been going on. It's been a hostile takeover of our media. The Hollywood elites lecturing us about what we need to believe, what we need to follow. And it's egregious, it's gross, it's disgusting. We've had enough. We're annoyed. We've had enough of their narrative being shoved down our throats, and now people are just not watching. And they won't accept that. They won't accept the fact that President Trump was reelected because Americans hate those on the left and how they continue to shove their narrative down the rest of our throats. Lecture us about how we should be, what we should do. The reality is Jimmy Kimmel's not being canceled because of President Donald Trump. He would love to flatter himself, of course, with that narrative. He's being canceled because he's absolute garbage. Because he's not funny. Most of these so-called comedians aren't really funny anymore. Most Americans are turning them off. You know, Tim Pool posted it. I thought it was hilarious. Tim Pool posted a little bit about Kimmel's ratings, and I could post a photo of my dogs online to get more views than Jimmy Kimmel was getting on his show every night. The cost to produce a show like that is through the roof. Financially, there's probably no incentive to keep him on air. Can't talk about it, though. No. Blame President Trump. Blame President Trump. Look at this. Kimmel was only getting 129,000 viewers. My gosh, folks, keep in mind how little that number is compared to what the over 300 million Americans who live in this country. 300 plus. It's embarrassing. They can't pull in viewers. You know, we see it time and time again, CNN, MSNBC, they're struggling. Why are they struggling? Because no one's watching. They've had enough. Every American has had enough of it. In fact, we knew the final blow for CNN was when they were pulled from the airports. When you give Americans the options on whether they wanted to tune in or not, they chose not to. It's not really surprising. I want to turn to New York City because yesterday got a little crazy, got a little out of control yesterday in New York City. The left-leaning, and I always say left-leaning, that's me sounding very nice, the radical left-wing terrorists who are trying to destroy this country, that's how I need to say it, well, they were very upset because our federal agencies are actually doing the job that they're being paid to do, which is to purge our society from the worst of the worst. And so they're not very happy. And so yesterday throughout New York City, there were protests and they were trying to block federal agents from doing their jobs. Individuals like the New York City comptroller, Brad Lander. Okay, so now this guy, total tool. He's done this. This is, I believe, his second time where he's gone in. He's tried to disrupt hearings and any chance that ICE could detain these individuals. Again, it's just, it's so naive. It's so stupid. And I can't believe that a man his age doesn't understand the type of violent criminals that these federal agents are going after. They're not going after people who are trying to contribute to our society. People who are engineers, doctors, you know, the usual narrative they try to spin. DHS is literally there detaining the worst of the worst. And in case you're wondering who they were there for yesterday, I actually got a little intel from DHS on this front. Okay, so here are some of the individuals that Brad Lander was trying to keep in our country, was trying to fight for. One individual is a confirmed MS-13 gang member convicted of criminal possession of a weapon and a DUI. Another illegal alien was convicted of possession of a gun. Another individual that he is trying his hardest to fight for is an individual who has a final order of removal, who was arrested for flying drones near the White House multiple times. Another one, according to DHS, is an individual who had, looks like, a lot of fentanyl on him. Another individual, DHS says, was a drug trafficker from Switzerland. That's who Brad is fighting for. We want our fentanyl. We want our drug traffickers here. Democrats love them. That's their new voter base. That's their new voter base. These people are absolute garbage. Absolute garbage. It's not really surprising. They've been able to get away with it so far. But this is the problem, right? This is why they hate independent journalism so much, because they know that they're being exposed now. I actually posted something yesterday that detailed another individual from Chicago. She's a lawmaker. She's a state senator. She's from West Chicago. And she tried her very best to intervene while ICE was trying to make arrests, screaming like a buffoon, cursing like an animal, just an overall gross human being, screaming for people to close their doors. Don't let him in. Karina Villa. I reached out to DHS for comment on her because she's an absolute pig. Yelling at these ICE agents who are just trying to take hard criminals off the streets. Trisha McLaughlin actually gave me comment yesterday on this one incident, saying that these sanctuary politicians work hard for their 15 minutes of fame, but America's brave ICE agents work harder. And then goes on to pretty much say that we're just trying to remove rapists, gang members, child pedophiles, murderers from the streets of Chicago. Trisha McLaughlin, she is one of the great spokes individuals, a spokesperson over at DHS, and she's doing an incredible job, not shying away from pushing back on their false narrative. Had her on my show quite some time ago, and she was great. You see, this is the thing, right? They hate it. Now that President Trump has learned his lessons from the first term and has put people who aren't afraid to push back on the narrative, the lies. That woman you see right now on your screen was a woman who was advocating, not for her constituents, people who should be legally able to vote for her, but she was advocating for the rapists in her community, the gang members, the child pedophiles. Those are now the protected class within the Democratic Party. I wonder why that is. There's got to be some reason for it. Not surprising at all, though. Not surprising at all. I also asked DHS, too, it's worth noting, if they intend on arresting any of these politicians, especially the one you just saw in Chicago. And unfortunately, they did not give me a direct response back on that front. But the reality is Kristi Noem was talking a good game when it comes to arresting those who interfere with these ICE arrests. So I would say probably should get started in rounding them up now. We'll continue to follow these stories as they develop. But these people belong in prison cells. You want to put our ICE agents at risk? You want to call them out? You want to dox them? You want to call them out for having face masks on so your radical left-wing terrorists don't go after their families? DHS start doing their job, start locking these people up. All right, we've got a lot more coming your way. Speaking about terrorists, too, so don't go anywhere.
I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I mean, I've been caught.
You got a little, did you get, find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, it's jonestore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue, you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while,
if you don't mind, I have a bottle that fills. Too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not going to, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
Agent Jones leaps from the sky, martini in hand, danger closing in fast. Dodging bullets and charming every woman in sight, he discovers the prize, a briefcase full of stolen war bonds. Not from the Queen, from the AlexJonesStore.com. Every bond fuels the mission. Every purchase keeps the fight alive. Support the show, because in this world, the only license that matters is to resist.
This is a little piece of art, a really nice memento, and when you order for $100 an InfoWars war bond, it gets mailed to you with a one-time promo code you use. So when I show these on air, whoever puts one of these in first gets $110. But when it comes in the mail, you can use it once for $110 in the store. And then it's a nice memento to know that you supported the operation at such a key, critical time. Alex Jones war bond, $110. Redeem your $110 war bond right now. Just enter the gift code below at checkout, and it will then pay for your purchase, and then you get to keep the war bond to hang on the wall, a nice little memento. Your Alex Jones war bonds right now, and you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, so $770 right here for whoever watching live puts in one of these codes first. You get $110 to spend in the store. But for everybody else, they also make great gifts. You can also watch the show at thealexjonesstore.com. There's a listen live area right there with the streams, thealexjonesstore.com. And even if the globalists are successful at shutting down InfoWars, which they're not going to be, I believe, in a celebration of the Alex Jones Store officially being open for business for 1 year, we're launching the Light Is Fire with Its Beauty 1 year anniversary fundraiser sale. For this week only, all shirts and hats are just $25, not $35. Plus, we're giving everyone a free $11 to spend on the store this week at checkout. And it doesn't stop there. All orders of Ultimate Burn, an incredible natural weight loss formula, are 50% off to celebrate the fire of liberty burning within the heart of every info warrior. Be the reason, as Chase Geyser says, we will always be on the air. And I humbly and respectfully thank you for all of your support.
Powered by Ultimate Burn, he hits the street, running through the city with fire in his feet. Punching slabs of beef, sweat starts to rise. Strength in his heart, you can see in his eyes. It's the fist of freedom, the power, the might, fueled by Ultimate Burn. He's ready to fight. Bill Gates falls, Schwab hits the ground. Humanity saved with the victory sound.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch right now at band.video.
Welcome back to American Journal. I am Brianna Morello. It's been an exciting week. First week hosting this show, and I'm excited that you guys are all here. Make sure you give us a follow right now on X if you're there, at InfoWars and at Brianna Morello. Let us know what you think of the program so far. If I'm missing a segment and you want me to talk about something else, we're all ears. So head on over, give us a follow, and let us know what you think. But speaking about what you think, I am going to give a prediction. President Trump is scheduled later today to sign an executive order, and I'm thinking that that executive order, speculation, okay, might be about making Antifa a terrorist organization, giving them that designation. Now, we are waiting to see some more details on that front, but President Trump can't stop talking about it. He is infuriated, obviously, with what happened to Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk was assassinated. All he was doing was trying to have a discussion with those on the left, and they killed him. And we've had enough of it. President Trump even saying that, you know, one of his final discussions with Kirk was about these radical left groups. And so I'm pretty sure that President Trump is going to expedite going after these groups after they just assassinated one of his friends. Now, President Trump is making a bunch of commitments, and he just gave us a new commitment in regards to what we've been asking for, which is to investigate these NGO groups and who is funding them. He spoke out yesterday on Fox News about that in clip 6.
agitators.
Who are they? Well, and where's the money coming from? Is it foreign entities?
Yeah, you're going to find out, and we're going to find out in great detail. And it surprised me that Biden wouldn't have done it, because it really became hot over the last 3-4 years. It surprised me that Biden wouldn't do it. But then as I got to know him, first of all, he didn't call the shots. He wasn't calling the shots. But as we got to see what was happening in Biden's group, Antifa plays perfectly for them, you know, absolutely perfectly. But it's a terrorist organization, in my opinion, and we're going to find out. All those questions are going to be answered.
All those questions will be answered. That is a promise I will hold him to. Joining me now to discuss everything about Antifa is Julio Rojas. He's one of the incredible journalists over at The Blaze, their national correspondent. And he joins us now because, Julio, you've had a couple of brush-ups with Antifa. You have covered them extensively, especially at the height of the turmoil, which was back in 2020. So it's good to have you on this program. But President Trump now laying out the groundwork, it sounds like, to go after groups like Antifa, go after who's funding it. Your thoughts on his statements that he made last night to Fox News?
Yeah, I think it's very possible for the government to crack down on this because, I mean, right now what you're hearing from Democrats and the mainstream media and their acolytes, so to speak, is that it's not possible to go after Antifa. It's an ideology. It's not an official organization. So therefore, how can you crack down on something that doesn't exist? But the thing is that it's an ideology because people believe in it, right? They believe in on it and they act on it. And so you don't have to be part of a quote unquote declared group that has a business address in an office building. I mean, theft rings are cracked down on all the time, right? And they're not a quote unquote, a registered, LLC to be taken down by law enforcement if they're doing criminal activity. So Antifa is very much the same way. They are purposefully decentralized. They don't, try to organize, have too much of a hierarchy because they know that that's to their advantage. I would say that it's significant that it appears that the president is going to be following through on this because what I always say is that the vast networks that caused all the violence and mayhem back in 2020, they never went away. The riots stopped, but the people who created that chaos, they went back to what they were doing before. And so now with the ICE enforcement operations that have been happening at a higher pace, the very sad aftermath of Charlie Kirk being killed and the links to that. So it's long overdue. But it's also possible, right? So, I would say, if someone says like, oh, we can't do that, just ignore them because they have no idea what they're talking about or they're just being obtuse.
Yeah, Julio, and you just spoke about how Democrats and the mainstream media want to pretend like Antifa is not really a thing. It's not an organization. We actually have an incredible clip that I think a lot of people might have forgotten about when Jerry Nadler was confronted about just that, and he called Antifa a myth. So let's take a listen to clip 7.
It is true. There's violence across the whole country. Do you disavow the violence from Antifa that's happening in Portland right now?
That's a myth that's being spread only in Washington, D.C.
About Antifa in Portland?
Yes.
Sir, there's videos everywhere online. There's fires and riots. They're throwing fireworks at federal officers. DHS is there. Look online. It gets crazy, Mr. Nadler.
Okay, so he's saying that Antifa's a myth. We all know it's not, but I'll let you kind of break down and kind of give the rebuttal in that argument, because obviously he doesn't want the federal government using it to go against them, but disprove what Jerry Nadler just said there.
Yeah, I would also say that Jerry Nadler's 12-minute run mile time is also a myth. like I said, they organize into cells, right? And what I think is significant is that their lack of strict organization is a strength, but it's also a weakness. An example of that was in 2021, Antifa in Portland marched on the Oregon Democratic headquarters for the city right there. And there was infighting happening amongst the group because it was leaderless, because there wasn't really much of a plan. So half the group wanted to go one direction, the other group wanted to go the other direction, and there's kind of a back and forth, and a white Antifa activist yelled at a black trans woman and they didn't like that. And so it was funny seeing that play out. But when they are galvanized, when they are really motivated to act, like in Portland with targeting the ICE facility there, and they've been doing that for months now, they're very dangerous. I mean, these are really extreme radicals. You don't really stumble into this. You have to put in the effort to buy into the ideology, buy into and believe that the United States is this, you know, horrible country and Republicans and Democrats are all the same. And so therefore voting doesn't work. So therefore we have to take violent action against the federal government to effect change. And if you look at the terrorism or the definition for terrorism, which is, you know, committing crimes, committing violence to effect political change. I mean, that's what they're doing. So, I mean, their actions certainly fit that definition. And so, they do have some, drawbacks to their tactics, but I think that they've proven time and again that they're dangerous. They're real. And they, something needs to be done. And like I said, it's been long overdue. And I think the president is going to really follow through on this just because of what's happened, you know, unfortunately this past year.
Yeah. Yeah. And we really hope he does. This is something that should have been a day one project for them to go after them. Although he did allude that there has been an investigation that's ongoing. I just don't know when that started. So I look forward to seeing some more information on that. But for our audience, kind of detail, like, who is Antifa here in the United States? Like, who makes up these groups? Because a lot of the times, you know, I'll see Andy Ngo is tweeting out things, and I believe there's been a couple of individuals that have been called out for being convicted pedophiles. But who are the individuals that are joining Antifa to go around our country and to terrorize individuals and to terrorize our government?
Yeah, it's interesting profiles because you get a mix of children of well-off families. That's why they're able to, you know, not be able to hold down real jobs that require them to be, you know, from 9 to 5, 5 days a week. So that's just what they do. And it's a lifestyle, right? Ultimately, every single person that's involved in this is a lifestyle. It's more than just showing up at a protest and then going back to their quote unquote, normal life. I mean, that's why the Pacific Northwest is very prevalent there because of the progressive scene, the laid back attitude when it comes to certain things. And then also that's why it's unsurprising that there's a lot of transgender identifying individuals in this because, there's a lot of drugs just involved in general. That's why they got that great. That's why we see their mugshots. They're all like, you know, it's like weird looking at them like that because half the time they're strung out. Whether it's on, you know, street drugs or hormonal drugs that they're taking because they're trying to be the other gender that they can't be. Actually. And so, it's a mix. And then you also kind of have they've been known to recruit kind of like, drifters and homeless people to kind of like be with them too. I mean,
it looks like all their parents met at like the family reunion. They all like they're inbred.
Yeah. And so, and there's reasons behind that. And I think it speaks to their soul. Like in all seriousness, it speaks to their soul and they're hurting. Like I'm not trying to be necessarily sympathetic to them, but again, you don't just one day decide, oh, I'm going to be violent towards people that I think are Nazis or I think they're fascists. It's like, no, it's the extreme end result of just kind of the Trump derangement syndrome, the believing that this is the end of democracy that mainstream Democrats push, right? Mm. So if when people hear that over and over and over again, they see in their social media feeds over and over and over with TikTok, Twitter, you know, whatever, Instagram, Discord, Reddit, they get caught in like this just outrage loop and it they just spiral more and more out of control. And so, you know, that's kind of like a typical, you know, whichever ideology, but you know, that's a typical radicalization process, right? You start at being quote unquote normal and then you just go further down the rabbit hole. So, it is kind of a motley crew, I would say. I mean, there's not, you know, it's not only people that are, you know, well off or dregs of society or, you know, whatever, but that's why they come together and that's why their tactics and the cells individually are a little bit unique in that way because there is no, you know, one mold that they all fit.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's something that needs to be broken up. I want to ask you about this, Julio, because yesterday we heard from Democrats and when they heard the warnings that were coming out from the White House that these groups were going to get investigated, instead of supporting, you know, their constituents, law-abiding citizens, they decided to side with the criminals and, they're trying to come up with different methods to come forward, both in the House and the Senate, to protect these individuals. Let's take a listen to clip 8.
Senator, let's talk about that call to action, because today there was a bicameral effort, meeting members of the House, members of the U.S. Senate, presenting a plan forward, additional legal protections for individuals who are targeted by this administration. I want you to talk us through how that might work, and then also talk to us about whether or not you can take some of those principles and apply them to left-leaning groups that, as you said, are being targeted.
Yep. So what we did today, a bicameral group of senators, we said freedom of speech is sacrosanct. It is our most precious right. And what we need to do is to put into law language that will stop the federal government from taking away those free speech rights. And it would give additional tools to individuals that and organizations that are being unfairly targeted or attacked by agents of the federal government, including the president of the United States. That's exactly what we see right now.
Julio, I never thought I'd see the day that lawmakers would come together, Democrats specifically, to make sure that the federal government isn't targeting law-abiding citizens, as they like to kind of frame it. But that's what's going on right now. It looks like they're trying to protect free speech. But I remember just 4 years ago when people who they didn't agree with were being targeted by the federal government, and we asked for help, and they didn't want to come out and help us. And now all of a sudden they feel a wave of inspiration. Your reaction to Democrats trying to come together to help those who might be targeted for their violent speech and for their actual violent acts?
I mean, it's what we all know, right? I mean, just D.C. politicians and Democrats, they're just full of it. Yeah. Republicans can be in that category too. But I mean, yeah, it's unsurprising. And that's why, I mean, and this was expected, right? I mean, leading up to the election, they didn't tone down their rhetoric against President Trump, so he got shot, and he almost got shot a second time. And now that he's in power, they're going all out. I mean, so that's why you're not seeing this condemnation of the violence against federal agents. You're barely seeing serious condemnation about what happened to Charlie Kirk, and that's, you know, more than half of their base are celebrating it openly. So I mean, this is the Democratic Party, and it's sick. I mean, Axios reported just this past summer about how Democrats on Capitol Hill were actually concerned that their constituents are telling them that they need to get violent too, that there needs to be blood in the streets in order to stop President Trump. I mean, this is the environment that they foster. And that's why this idea that, like, oh, well, we have to unify in this moment. You can't unify with Antifa. They'll kill you. They will actually kill you. And it has happened in the past with that. So you can't unify with people that want to do you harm, that want to make you lose your job at a minimum, or, you know, because you voted for President Trump and that's your only quote unquote crime. So this idea that we can somehow work with some of these people is insane. And it doesn't make any sense. And it's just impossible, right? It's not surprising that they're trying to do this now. I mean, I don't even know how they would even go about that. I'm sure they would find a way if given the ability and the power to do so.
Yeah.
But it's also concerning that the Republicans are attaching some Republicans, and I have an idea of who it might be in the Senate, would attach themselves to that, knowing what the true goal and the ultimate motive is for Democrats to be doing this.
Yeah, it's absolutely disgusting. It's disturbing that this is even going on in the first place, but it's not surprising. This is everything that they represent. And so I'm not shocked here, Julio, at all. Julio Rojas, I want to thank you for joining us today, as always, and giving us your insight on all things Antifa. So thank you so much, folks. Give him a follow, because you're doing incredible work, Julio, all across the country, covering all the topics that we need to be bringing to the forefront. So thank you, Julio.
Of course. Thank you.
All right, folks, you know, we talked about it a little bit in the open of the show, but there is right now in this country a hostile takeover. And, you know, I try not to do the whole fear mongering thing, but I want to point you to the facts that right now this country is being taken over by Islamists. And normally I don't, when it comes to any religion, I don't care. But the reality of it is we're bringing in people who hate us, who want to kill us, who don't like Western beliefs, and they want us out of our own country. They, in fact, want to bully us into just agreeing with them, just allowing them to do whatever they want. And it's happening throughout the entire country. And I'll detail that a little bit more. But I wanted to walk you through a soundbite that you may have not heard. It's in regards to the Dearborn mayor who's going after one of his constituents I'll try pronouncing his name. It's Dearborn Mayor Abdullah Hamarud. I don't even know how to say it. I'm so tired of this. He's going after one of his constituents, though, who was simply speaking his opinion during a meeting. And he wasn't happy with the fact that this individual was brave enough to get to the podium and say exactly how he felt in regards to Islam taking over his community. Take a listen to clip five.
Hezbollah, bombed the embassy in Beirut, and including many Americans. So I just feel that's quite inappropriate.
You are an Islamophobe. And although you live here, I want you to know as mayor, you are not welcome here. And the day you move out of the city will be the day that I launch a parade celebrating the fact that you moved out of the city. Because you are not somebody who believes in coexisting.
Oh, he doesn't believe in coexisting? No, you don't believe in coexisting. See, there's a common theme here, and it's whenever they are building up right now their Muslim compounds, you know what follows? You know what follows? They seem to be changing the street names to Islamist conquerors. I could tell you, in Plano, for an example, Plano, Texas. Many of you know it as the East Plano Islamic Center. If you just take a drive down and search the names of their streets, according to the Rare Foundation, they've changed over those names over to Islamist conquerors. Folks, it's not secretive. They're doing this right in front of us. They don't want to coexist. When have you ever heard any of these individuals say they want to coexist with us? They're literally building communities with walls. They don't want to let us in. There's a high level of security, though, over at Epic. And they want to keep you out. They don't want you coming there. And they can't legally say that you as a Christian can't live in their community because, of course, there's the Fair Housing Act. So they'd be hit with a bunch of federal penalties. But they find ways to make you not want to live there, right? Like taking your money, making you pay dues, and giving it over to their mosques. Listen, it's one thing if we really were truly trying to coexist, but they're not trying to coexist. See, wherever there's Muslims throughout the entire country, there's slaughter. Throughout the entire world, let's talk about Hindus. They're slaughtering them. Just a couple months ago, carrying out a massive terrorist attack. People who were just staying at a resort. They asked them to strip if they saw they had tattoos, if they saw that they were not Muslim. They killed them. You're seeing it all the time throughout Africa. You know, Lara Logan did an incredible documentary series in regards to the genocide happening in countries like Nigeria. Christians being slaughtered by who? Islamic terrorists. And obviously we know what's happening to the Jewish people. Folks, there's one common theme here. And they're hoping you're just dumb enough and looking the other way. And that is wherever Islam pops up, violence takes place. You know, just earlier this year, and just to kind of remind you all, maybe you recall the terror attack that took place, and it was an American. But he was Muslim, and he apparently was a member of a mosque in Texas, carried out a terrorist attack by mowing down individuals who were just simply enjoying New Year's Day. And what was the response from the mosque? Don't talk to the police. Don't talk to the FBI. What do you think that is? Now, obviously, they're not being criminally charged with anything, but they only want to help us after one of their own mowed down innocent Americans. Doesn't sound like people want to coexist with you and I. And how do they contribute to our society? You know, these churches, they give back. I've never once heard of a mosque giving back to people who aren't Muslim. Coexisting sounds great. But we're not talking about individuals who are looking to coexist with us. How horrific. People just trying to enjoy New Year's Day in the streets. And they're mowed down by a terrorist. One that even the mosque doesn't want to claim anymore. Help law enforcement. No. Join us in the cover up. It's egregious. It was a Facebook post I think I saw in regards to them telling their members not to speak to law enforcement. And that shouldn't be the case. You should want to help out your fellow Americans, figure out who did this and what was his motive. But we're not going to talk about that. No. We're going to shift our attention to something else. It's absolutely disgusting, but it's not surprising. I want to talk a little bit about Epstein because obviously we're going to keep this in the headlines. It's not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. We want those sexual assault victims to have their day of justice. Congressman Thomas Massie, I do like him on certain subject matters. I do question his motive, though, in regards to Epstein, because now he's starting to get loud about the issue. I don't remember him getting loud about the issue previously, though. But Massey's out here, and he's claiming that the FBI has at least 20 names of suspects regarding Epstein's client list. Now, again, Cash Patel coming out and saying there really wasn't a list. There was no client list. I don't know if that's truthful or if it was destroyed before Cash Patel made his way into this role. I would imagine a lot of things were destroyed before Cash Patel made his way into this role. Because obviously these are people who are protected. But Massie, I don't know why he's doing this. I don't know why Massie's out here saying the lawmaker, according to this article, which was in Yahoo, the lawmaker claimed those files included one Hollywood producer worth a few $100 million, one royal prince, one high-profile individual in the music industry, one very prominent car company in Italy, one rock star, one magician, and at least six billionaires, including one from Canada. So, Massie, if you have the names, why don't you drop them? I mean, he seems to be so confident, so bold to say this. Why are we playing this game? This is what gets me so angry, right? Because now Democrats are out here and they're pretending to advocate for sexual assault victims. And the reality is they're not doing it. They're only doing it now because it's politically convenient. Likely the information that would have indicted their friends, their donors, their allies has all been purged. But here we have Massie who continues to push it, which I'm excited for because this should happen. But again, why is Massie saying they're titled but not saying their names? What are you afraid of for? If you got 20 of them, let's hear it. We're all ears. But Thomas Massie just seems to be playing games with the White House because he's a little upset, disagrees with them. President Trump put out a couple of mean posts about him. So although I do like Congressman Thomas Massie, I have agreed with him on most of his issues, I do have to question his motive here, especially when you're not dropping the names yourself. Be brave. Be bold. Tell us who. Who is on the list that you're citing? Speaking about being brave and bold, we've got a whole nother hour. Only the 2 hours up ahead. And we've got some great guest lineup coming your way in just a few moments. So do not go anywhere. We'll be back in just a few moments. And I'm excited for our next topic, so you're not going to want to miss out on this one.
This is a little piece of art, a really nice memento, and when you order for $100 an InfoWars war bond, it gets mailed to you with a one-time promo code you use. So when I show these on air, whoever puts one of these in first gets $110. But when it comes in the mail, you can use it once for $110 in the store. And then it's a nice memento to know that you supported the operation in such a key, critical time. Alex Jones War Bond, $110. Redeem your $110 war bond right now. Just enter the gift code below at checkout, and it will then pay for your purchase, and then you get to keep the war bond to hang on the wall, a nice little memento. Get your Alex Jones war bonds right now, and you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, so $770 right here for whoever watching live puts in one of these codes first. You get $110 to spend in the store. But for everybody else, they also make great gifts. You can also watch the show at thealexjonesstore.com. There's a listen live area right there with the streams, thealexjonesstore.com. And even if the globalists are successful at shutting down InfoWars, which they're not going to be, I believe, in a celebration of the Alex Jones Store officially being open for business for 1 year, we're launching the Light Is Fire with Its Beauty 1 year anniversary fundraiser sale. For this week only, all shirts and hats are just $25, not $35. Plus, we're giving everyone a free $11 to spend on the store this week at checkout. And it doesn't stop there. All orders of Ultimate Burn, an incredible natural weight loss formula, are 50% off to celebrate the fire of liberty burning within the heart of every info warrior. Be the reason, as Chase Geyser says, we will always be on the air. And I humbly and respectfully thank you for all of your support.
All right, welcome Journal. I am Brianna Morello, and we're very excited that you are all here. In case you didn't know, Infowars.com has some incredible stories, and we're constantly pumping out the headlines the mainstream media is not going to tell you about. So make sure you make Infowars.com your main source of information. Head on over there every single day to start your day. I know I do. That's how we put together all of these headlines. I strongly rely on all of our great reporters. One is actually going to be joining us later in the show to break down some of his reporting, Mr. Dan Lyman. And again, that's where I get all my ideas from. So if you want to get some insight onto what's going on in my head, it's over at Infowars.com. So make sure you go there. All right. So we're getting ready to kick off the second hour of the program. We're very excited about that. But for the third hour, and I'll let you guys know, but for the third hour, we're going to be taking live calls. So that's going to be really exciting. But up ahead on this hour of American Journal, my good friend, Mr. Tom Renz, is calling into the show. And we're going to talk to him because Tom Renz is an incredible attorney, one of the very few who have actually had the cojones to go back and fight all of these big pharmaceutical companies who are trying to push these fatal COVID jabs onto the rest of us. Well, there's a lot of changes happening right now through HHS, thankfully, because of RFK Jr. And, you know, when it comes to people who I could trust to shoot straight with us, it's Tom Renz. And so he's joining us in about 3 minutes. So you're not going to want to go anywhere. You're going to want to tune into that because there's a lot happening on the front of MAHA that you need to know about in regards to both the organ harvesting going on in our country. Obviously, folks, we need organ donors. That's something that we don't want to shy away from or discourage, but it's a matter of, are these hospitals being incentivized to harvest organs of individuals who actually are alive? Well, according to RFK Jr., he's uncovered a ton of things, and it looks like that's actually true. We covered the press conference yesterday, which he held with Dr. Oz, and they've made some serious changes. And so Tom Renz is going to be diving into that with us, too, because you're going to want to hear about one of the groups in Florida that's actually not going to be able to do all of this anymore. They're not going to be able to do the organ harvesting because they have allegedly been caught harvesting the organs of individuals who were still alive. As egregious as that sounds, yes, it's true. So Tom Renz joining us for that. I'm also going to ask him questions in regards to how you could protect your loved ones. You know, let's say you have a loved one who would like for there one day, if there was ever an emergency, and sadly they were going to lose their lives, for their organs to be used to save other lives. Well, how do you go about doing that in the safest way possible so the hospitals aren't killing off your loved ones for financial gain? Well, I'm going to ask him that. He's an attorney, and he's got some great insight on that front. Plus, we've also got some other questions for him in regards to the vaccines, because there's been some good changes that came out of yesterday's CDC panel meeting. Now, of course, because RFK Jr. and President Trump have made some changes over at the CDC, we finally have a very, let's just say, promising change that's been made to those childhood vaccine recommendations. It's more coming to today. They are still having their discussions and their meetings today in regards to even like the hepatitis B. So I'm referring to here, that vaccine. They're going to take a vote on that today. If you probably didn't even know this unless you have children, but they actually give hepatitis B vaccines to infants, newborns, literally hours, years old. They're injecting them with HBV vaccines. HEP. I keep messing this up, folks. Sorry, it's been a long, long week. But folks, we're going to be digging into that with Tom Renz in just a few moments. A lot to dig into. I'm also getting really annoyed because, again, the left is trying to shift the narrative, and we're going to talk about it, on Charlie Kirk's alleged assassin. The New York Post actually did an incredible job of digging into his past a little bit and finding out that he's allegedly a part of these really creepy, creepy groups online. Furry Shades of Gay. No, that's not a typo, folks. Apparently that's a group that he was a member of. We're going to ask Lisa Logan about that, too, in this hour, because I don't even understand how someone even becomes a member of that. Now, I'm not going to give you all the details. I'm sure you could probably visualize what that means. But I'm going to ask her about all of that because she's the one who's going to understand as to how someone even becomes a member of these groups and how we save our children from being tarnished by the far left who have made their way into schools, made their way into these community groups, and are trying to destroy these children's lives. So a lot to dig into in the second hour of the program. Do not go anywhere. We've got a lot more to discuss.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
week.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think that this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. It's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. Looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalist in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back to the program. We're excited that you're here with us, kicking off the second hour of American Journal. Thank you for joining me. Folks, this has been a very interesting week, especially for the MAHA movement. And if you haven't been paying attention, well, luckily we have. And we've been following some very critical measures that have been taking place over the CDC. Now, as many of you guys know, RFK Jr. has been shaking up the CDC because he's had enough of the CDC being so, let's just say, bought off by Big Pharma. And he's not afraid to call it out. That is exactly what you and I voted for. We wanted to make sure that these three-letter agencies were working for the American people and not for these big pharmaceutical companies. Well, one of his commitments and one of the president's commitments was looking at the childhood vaccine recommendations. And yesterday, the CDC held one of their meetings, and they're actually holding it again today to vote on more of this. But interesting enough, folks, the CDC panel recommends restricting access to MMRV vaccines. The panel said that the vaccines, which includes protection against chickenpox, shouldn't be given to children under the age of 4. Now, obviously, there's a lot of risks involved in that. Even they're citing seizures for young children. And so that's one of the many reasons for the change. Now, another one that they're looking at today, which we're very excited about, is is the hepatitis B vaccine, I believe, as well. Now, that's one of those vaccines that's given to children just a couple of hours old. It's just the strangest thing in the world that this is the type of stuff that's being given to children. But for some reason, the CDC has validated it. They've continued these practices. And although RFK Jr. has done an incredible job at pushing back and getting rid of a lot of these people, he's got a lot of changes he needs to make. Joining me now to discuss is Tom Redds. He's an incredible attorney. He is a freedom fighter, especially when it comes to medical freedom. And he joins us now on the program. Tom, thank you for joining us. I'm excited that you're here because there's a lot of great changes happening over at the CDC. And although it's slowly happening, we're very optimistic, obviously. This big change happening yesterday, they're looking to tweak the recommendations for the measles vaccines, which includes protections against chickenpox. Your reaction to the changes that were voted on yesterday?
Well, this is really just common sense, right? So if we look at this, the MMRV vaccine, which is the MMR vaccine plus the chickenpox vaccine, is much like every other childhood vaccine, improperly studied, understudied, and the follow-ups have really been at best weak. There really just isn't much. So this is a very sensible move. The risk of seizures that they talked about yesterday versus the case fatality rate of these various diseases is it's huge, right? So with the seizures, I believe they're looking at in some cases I think they're saying up to 3 to 5%, right? Mm-hmm. When you look at the case fatality rate of a lot of these diseases, you're looking at 0.01 to 0.05%. I mean, you're looking at sometimes almost, just tens and tens of tens higher risks that over the risk of the disease. The diseases aren't that dangerous. Nobody dies from chickenpox, right? Nobody mm-hmm. dies from rubella. And it's not just because of the vaccines. It's because the diseases just aren't that dangerous.
Yeah. And I think it's important for folks to remember that. Now, The CDC is meeting again today, and they're looking to vote potentially on the hepatitis B vaccines, it looks like, as well, which is very strange. Can you break down what it's the current recommendation is and what potentially they're going to be looking to vote on? Because I was shocked. Now, obviously, I'm not a parent, so I learned this when I was talking to my friends who are becoming parents. When they were told, or when the hospitals tried to grab their newborns just a couple of hours after being born, and they were being given this vaccine, and it took a lot for the parents to step in and shut it down before they were able to do it. But why the heck are we giving these vaccines to newborns?
So there's no good reason at all. This is one of the most mind-blowing things ever. One of the things that we need to really start out with is understand that every single, and I've went through every one of them. I went through every single childhood vaccine on the schedule, and I looked at the studies, the original studies to approve them. Not one of those studies was without major flaws. Then once the vaccines are approved and on the schedule, there's no follow-up. There's only VAERS. Now, VAERS, according to the law and according to everything, is not reliable because nobody reports. They're supposed to, but they don't. So there's no reporting system, no follow-up to determine whether these flawed studies actually were flawed. So what's happened is Big Pharma will do flawed studies to get approved because they own HHS. They get the approval, and then no one follows up to determine the actual safety or efficacy. So when Bobby's talking about safety efficacy studies, that's what he's saying. And the Hep V vaccine is one of the most profound examples, right? The Hep V vaccine is something where unless mom has hepatitis, there's absolutely no reason to give it. Hepatitis B is, you know, something transmitted through drug use or, you know, sharing needles or if you know, unsafe sex practices. How many infants are doing that? And the answer is none, right? So there's no benefit to doing this. And you can test mom to see if she has Hep B. And if mom is not out, you know, engaging in unsafe practices, it's pretty clear that mom probably doesn't have Hep B. So this is something that would, that has absolutely no benefit for a vast, vast, vast majority of the population, but does put the children at risk. The only reason they're pushing this is because pharma makes money on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's disturbing that that's the reason. But again, we've been talking about this for quite some time, that how financially motivated they are to push these vaccines onto newborns. You know, Tom, I have to ask, and I'm, you know, very curious what you're going to answer this, because I am someone who has a lot of friends who are having children right now, and they don't know what vaccines to give their kids. They're looking at the recommendations and they're overwhelmed. There's so many studies out there that show that, yeah, they're safe and effective, but there's all these other type of factors that they don't know about because they're not experts on this issue. What would you recommend for new parents who are looking at the childhood vaccine recommendations right now? What should be a top priority, if any, of these vaccines at all?
I'm going to be real honest with you. One of my great regrets is that I vaccinated my children. I was pro-vax, very pro-vax up until COVID. And then I learned what I learned, and I started, and I've gone through it. I've literally went through every single one of these, and I wouldn't give my child one of them. Not one of them, in my opinion, has been properly proven safe or effective. And I would debate any expert out there on this without hesitation, because there really isn't proper study, proper follow-up. There's insinuations, there's suggestions, there's all sorts of things. But when you look at the study design of all of these, there's a couple of very common themes that you see in all these studies. So they will have small sample sizes that can't possibly capture some of these more rare side effects. And you've got to understand that a lot of these vaccines are there to prevent diseases that have such a low risk of death that they provide very little, if any, benefit at all. I mean, chickenpox, when we were kids, you'd have chickenpox parties so your parents could just get it done, right? So everybody got it at once, and you didn't have to worry about it. Nobody dies from chickenpox, right? But when you look at the studies across the board, we have all these vaccines, and most of these diseases aren't all that dangerous. And then when you look at, some of the diseases that are more dangerous, like polio, everybody wants to talk about polio. The studies that say that the polio vaccine were safe, the studies that it was approved on really weren't that good. And polio has been, you know, very well documented. The drop in polio had a lot less to do with the vaccine than it did with sanitation practices and all the different things that changed as we came to the modern era. The timing made it look very coincidental. But not one of these studies not, or not one of these vaccines has been approved on a proper gold standard study that would pass, you know, pass real muster if anybody was looking into it. Not one. And I say that not as a scientist. I say it as an attorney who's spent the last 5 years spending every moment of his time looking at how I would cross-examine someone on this, right? It's just, there's no answers.
Yeah, yeah. And it's disturbing. It really is disturbing, Tom, that this is still an ongoing issue here because it's been going on for many, many years. And there's a lot of people out there who are trying to embarrass, trying to shun those who come forward and ask these simple questions and try to question the legitimacy behind a lot of these vaccine data that they keep pouring out there. But again, they don't want us talking about that. But I wanted to shift our attention a little bit because yesterday we were covering it. RFK Jr. alongside with Dr. Oz, they came out to talk about organ harvesting. And ultimately, there's a lot of reforms going on. It sounds like, and I know, you know, America First Legal is digging into this a little bit more, but it sounds like under the Biden regime, there was a lot of financial incentives that were given to hospitals based on how many more organ transplants they were able to get donors from. There was also DEI that they're accusing them of potentially participating in, maybe prioritizing someone else on the list based on those standards. And so while, you know, America First Legal is digging into this, RFK Jr. has said he's seen enough, he's had enough, and he's ready to work on some reforms right now. Some of those reforms include an agency that he's accusing of very, very concerning accusations. It's called Life Alliance Organ Recovery Agency, and they're based out of the University of Miami Health System. They're one of their divisions there. Now, they're one of 55 organ procedure organizations, but ultimately what HHS is accusing them of is they're claiming that at least 28 patients may have not been deceased at the time that their organs were being harvested. And obviously that's something that's extremely concerning. So they're one of the groups that the administration is looking to block from being able to continue to participate in all of this because that is extremely reckless and inhumane to do. What is your reaction to the changes that are being made right now by HHS, who's continuously actually, and I should say, that they are still investigating a lot of these groups, so it's still ongoing, but they're making some immediate changes right now.
They need to. I mean, this is horrifying. I got, much like vaccines, I used to be a fan of the whole organ donation thing, but it's horrific. Not only are there the 28 cases that you mentioned, there's another statistic out there showing that 73 of 351 reviewed cases, patients displayed neurological signs that they weren't compatible with brain death, yet they moved and they pushed through this stuff anyways. Understand that this whole thing is at best flawed and at worst corrupt. There's a lot of money in organ harvesting, right? So when you harvest the organs, you know, there's organ harvesting itself, but then each surgery that you get from those, some hospitals making a lot of money off of that. So there's a lot of financial incentives in this. And you may say to yourself, well, that doesn't matter. No hospital would do that, except for then you go back to COVID, where we saw and we can prove and we can demonstrate that these hospitals were knowingly doing things that were killing patients for financial gain. So, and by the way, I'm happy to argue that one extensively if we want to get into details as well. Mm-hmm. But what this organ harvesting has really become a nightmare. And what they're doing is in a lot of cases, and this is one of the things I find really appalling, they're even finding situations where someone said no on their organ harvesting card, which, you know, so my driver's license says, heck no, no way, right? But then, you know, let's say I get in a car wreck and I'm, you know, in real bad shape and the doctor comes out and says, you know, listen, Tom is, he's brain dead. He's not coming back. I know he said no to organ harvesting, but you know, it would really help a lot of people. You really need to consider this. Think of the lives you'd save. He's not coming back, you know. And so they put these horrible pressure tactics on people who are dying or family members of people who are dying and they relent. And now we're finding out that not only are they relenting, but they're relenting and their loved ones aren't even necessarily dead. 73 out of 351 is 21%. So that's not even a small number. That is a huge number. That's a crisis in this system. And what Bobby's doing here, God bless him for it, is he's trying to rebuild this so that there can be faith in the organ transfer system, which there isn't right now. They're just the transplant system right now is an abject failure. And honestly, this reporting's critical Because if you're willing to do that, you're basically risking them murdering your loved one, without justification, because we just can't trust the doctors or the hospital systems anymore. They're not trustworthy.
Yeah. I mean, Tom, we learned that during the COVID, experiment that they put on, and the hospitals were literally killing people's loved ones with the drugs that they were, forcing upon these patients. And people learned a very valuable lesson. I know I did. And that's when if you or your loved one gets admitted to the hospital, you have to be the loudest, most aggressive advocate for your loved one, because the hospitals are not working with their best intentions at mind. And so I think for a lot of people who may be open to the idea of if I'm in a situation where they can't resuscitate me, where I am dying, I do want to save as many lives as possible, but I don't want that on my driver's license, because I want them to give me every chance at life and to help me out. And if these hospitals are being incentivized through organs, they're not going to be really willing to help me out. They might actually just cut the cord for me. So what would you recommend for those at home right now who are open to the idea of becoming organ donors, but don't want the hospitals knowing that in advance, so that they don't do something, like try to cut their life short so that they could profit off of their organs?
You need to have, and it depends on the state, right? So every state does this a little bit differently, but you need to provide someone you trust with power of attorney, and you need to be very clear on how that works. Now, you got to work with your local lawyer to do that. Power of attorney, some states require that you fill out specific forms for healthcare power of attorney. Some require that you do. I mean, it just varies. But you want to talk about healthcare power of attorney. You need those documents in place. And that was one of the things that we really found we needed during COVID. I mean, it's critical that can be done. A strong healthcare power of attorney document can make a big difference. And then you have to be active. You have to be ready to go, and you have to prepare yourself. A lot of us don't like to think about this, but I saw over and over and over again during COVID when people were being murdered, right? I mean, they were literally being murdered. I don't know if you recall this, Brianna, but I actually have a recording of a nurse talking about her floor being the killing floor during COVID, where they brought people to kill them. Mm-hmm. Not for them to die, but for them to kill them, right? So you have to understand that the hospital is a business, and not everybody in there is there for the best, to seek the best interests of your loved one. You have to be an advocate. When you go into that doctor's office, you have to be an advocate. Then your doctor may be the nicest guy ever, but your doctor can only do what the electronic medical record system allows him to do, unless he wants to go through tons and tons of paperwork, risk his license, and risk getting fired. Right now, the healthcare system, because of Obamacare and because of what Biden did, is designed as a top-down control thing. So you have to be willing to fight and force your doctor to fight for you, because your doctor is no longer in charge of your healthcare. The electronic medical record system, ran by the hospitals, ran by HHS, ran by all these people and the insurance companies, is what's controlling your healthcare. So when you go in, you'd better be knowledgeable. You'd better be ready to advocate, because the healthcare system is no longer about your health.
Yeah. And that's the big key point in all of this. I mean, I didn't realize, I mean, we knew they were, you know, in the financial business too, but I didn't realize how bad it was until we saw what they were doing to people at the hospitals. So that's very, very important for people to know. I want to switch it up a little bit. Go from the medical side of all of this to the First Amendment side to all of this, because we were calling it out. Unfortunately, the Attorney General of the United States, Pam Bondi, decided that she's going to declare war on hate speech. And although she now is retrying to define what she meant in that podcast interview to just violent speech and threats and all this other stuff, she's even saying, you know, she's wrapping up like swatting members of Congress as hate speech. But the reality is conservative influencers for months have been swatted repeatedly, and they've done nothing and prosecuted. They haven't told us they prosecuted anyone or charged anyone. So it's really interesting to hear this new administration declare war on the First Amendment in regards to all of that. They're also targeting journalists, trying to subpoena, you know, Steven Crowder's team for their sources. So I know you're working on something in regards to free speech, hate speech, as they like to call it. I can't even say that word without feeling dirty, but are you currently working on? How do we fight back on this matter?
Well, I'm going to be putting out some paperwork on this. I want to really discuss this, because right now, and I believe this is intentional, you know, the globalists have been talking about the fact that they need to bring down the First Amendment. The only reason we beat COVID, the only reason that we're talking about, free and fair elections, and the reason we have Donald Trump, is because we were able to talk about it. They tried to censor us, but they couldn't. So at the end of the day, the First Amendment is a real obstacle to tyranny. And so the globalists are trying to find ways around it. And it, true to the globalist, creed, never let a good crisis go to waste. Well, the tragic, tragic death of Charlie Kirk, and God rest his soul, I pray for his family, is now being weaponized and turned, and they're convincing a number of patriots and freedom lovers to really, really, Kayleigh McInerney actually made a thing, and I just posted on Twitter this morning about it. They're convincing a lot of conservative people that maybe we need to rein in hate speech, and that is an antithesis of the First Amendment. The First Amendment, very specifically, allows for hate speech. I can be despicable, right? I'm allowed to be despicable. I'm allowed to be disgusting, but it's not illegal. Back in 1969, we had the Brandenburg v. Ohio case, which is really the seminal case in this. That case held, and this guy, Brandenburg, he was a KKK member, so he was a disgusting, despicable human being. I mean, no question, this guy was a monster. And he was, I mean, he was recorded talking about, you know, violence, this, that, and other. They said during that case that the First Amendment cannot be abridged unless something is specifically inciting imminent lawless action and is likely to produce such action, and it's expressed with intent to cause it. So it's a three-part test. And it's a critical thing because you've got to understand that we are – What Pam Bondi said was literally inexcusable in my mind. Pam Bondi represents the most MAGA administration. I mean, Trump came up with MAGA. Free speech is the reason he's elected. Free speech is the reason he's here. I don't care that she says that she misspoke. She is the Attorney General of the United States of America in the most MAGA administration in history. She's not arresting anybody that's done anything real. She's allowing people. I mean, Brianna, you yourself have dealt with all sorts of nonsense because of the way people talk about you. And no one's even looking at that. No one's even considering that. Nobody cares about anybody unless it's the politicians. Now, the politicians, the untouchable class, these people who think that their Jesus are better, now we're talking about that. We're talking about, well, violence against them. Here's the deal. Unless in the United States, unless a statement specifically is designed to elicit a lawless behavior, it is protected by free speech, right? So what the laws that she cited were very narrow, and they're very hard to get prosecutions on, and they should be. If we allow hate speech to become a crime, remember what Biden did to us. We cannot become evil to defeat evil. And that's what we're talking about here. Biden censored us. Remember when he said the moms at the school board were domestic terrorists?
Yeah.
Remember when he said that people who questioned the election or who were J6 supporters, they were all terrorists? Unless we want to go back to that the next time we have a Democrat president, we better be fighting pretty darn hard to protect this First Amendment. This is a terrifying move. It wasn't just a misstep. It was absolute incompetence on a level that I think is unforgivable.
Yeah. Yeah, Tom, I mean, the fact that she said that, and now, I mean, she's trying to correct herself, right? But the reality of it is, it just depends on who the administration is in the White House, who's going to define what hate speech is, and Charlie Kirk would have never wanted that. We even have the tweets to prove that he would never want that. Tom Renz, thank you for all the incredible work you're doing and joining us this morning. Give him a follow on X. You actually post one of some of the most important content. I think everyone needs to head on over there right now and give you a follow. Tom Renz, thank you as always. All right, we got a lot more going on here on the American Journal. Don't go anywhere.
Look, when you realize how fake it all is, the football, the basketball, the Lady Gaga, the Justin Bieber, who gives you these carbon tax messages, they tell your kids they gotta love Justin Bieber, and then Bieber says, hand in your guns, pass the Cybersecurity Act, and, the police state's good, and then your children are turned into mindless vassals who now they look up to some twit instead of looking up to Thomas Jefferson or looking up to Nikola Tesla or looking up to Magellan. I mean, kids, he circumnavigated with one ship the entire planet. He was killed by wild natives before they got back to Portugal. And when they got back, there was only like 11 people alive of the 200 and something crew, and the entire ship was rotting down to the waterline. That's
destiny. That's will. That's striving. That's being a trailblazer and explorer. Going into space, mathematics, quantum mechanics, the secrets of the universe. It's all there. Life is fiery with its beauty, its incredible detail. Today is the one-year anniversary of TheAlexJonesRoy.com. Took 6 months to set it up, but we are launching Life is Fiery with its Beauty. That's a saying I said many years ago. One-year anniversary fundraiser sale. And we are doing really good in court. Big victories. You're going to see a bunch of stuff in the news very, very soon. I'll just leave it at that, involving the DOJ and what they've done to us. I'll stop right there. In celebration of TheAlexJonesRoy.com officially becoming open for business for a year, we are launching the Life is Fiery with its Beauty one-year anniversary fundraiser sale. For this week only, all shirts and hats are just $25. They cost like $15 a piece, of such high quality, instead of the regular $35. Plus, we're giving everyone a free $11 to spend on the store this week only, with no code required on all orders above $75. Just at checkout, $11 comes off the price. And it doesn't stop there. All orders of Ultimate Burn are 50% off an amazing natural fat burning private label, the top seller. So, you know, it's already a top company. It totally works, certified. 50% off to celebrate the fire of liberty burning within the heart of every info warrior. Go now to TheAlexJonesRoy.com and take advantage of the incredible fundraiser sale now for incredible discounts on all of our merch, including the new Holy Wars line of Life is Fire with its Beauty. It's all based on the Crusades, which were a defense to over 100 Islamic attacks on Europe. If you don't go now, you won't be able to use the free $11 we are offering this week only. And you may miss out on the Ultimate Burn, which is about to sell out. Life is Fire with its Beauty one-year anniversary fundraiser sale details. All hats and shirts site-wide are just $25 and $35. Get a $11 to use anywhere on the site. No code needed for all orders above $75. Get an additional 50% off on all one-time orders of Ultimate Burn. And there's a bunch of other 50% off on Methylene Blue and so much more. Remember, every dollar you spend, TheAlexJonesRoy.com is a round in the heart, information-wise, peacefully, of the New World Order, Satanic Globalist Cabal. Be the reason we will always be on the air while you still have a chance to save free speech, humanity itself. We've really gotten traction against the globalists. We're having major victories, but we've got to go over the top here. I am in state court today, federal court next week. We're deposing these people. I met with the Justice Department last week. Major stuff you will see within days on the quick side, within a week on the long side. You want action? You want it's happening. We can only stay in the fight because of you. So I salute you all. You are the spirit of 1776. You are the answer to the 1984 tyranny. You are the resistance. The answer to 1984 is 1776. And I salute you all for your support, your word about your prayer. And I salute this crew, the best crew ever. They are so amazing. So keep them in the fight as well. Go now to TheAlexJonesRoy.com. Be the reason we always stay on the air.
To the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morales. Watch it live right now at fan.video.
All right, welcome back to American Journal. I am Brianna Morales. Thank you for being here. We are in the second half of the second hour of the program, and so we're excited that you are joining us. There's a lot to talk about, and I try to cover all the topics, but if I miss something, why not give me a call? We are going to open up the phone lines in the top of the third hour. So give us a ring now. The number for that is 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. And I try to take as many calls as we can and speed through the callers. So we'll try to do that again today, because I know so many of you guys called yesterday and we didn't make it to the full list, but we're setting our goals high and we'll try to get to everyone who calls in. All right, folks. So I wanted to talk about something I think is very important, and it's about the children. It's about how kids are being kind of like their minds are being warped by the left. And we know that they've infiltrated the schools. We know that that has started at the elementary level. We covered that for years now, but it's important to understand how we've even gotten here in the first place. So when we talk about the suspect who's been arrested for Charlie Kirk's assassination, we have to talk about the fact that, according to reports, his family is Republican, that they're conservative, and he is somehow, some way, the one stray who got away and got sucked into the left's terrorism narrative, and the terrorism that they tried to bring their children into. So right now, as we kind of do a deep dive into all of this, it's really important for us to note that the left is trying to spin the narrative as if this individual was somehow MAGA. And it doesn't even make any sense to make that argument. But when you're just as dumb as someone like, let's say, Jasmine Crockett, and you're a low IQ human being, you pick up that narrative so quick when you find a one-liner and you run with it. That's exactly what she did yesterday in Congress. Take a listen.
Objection intended. I recognize Ms. Crockett for unanimous consent.
Yes, Mr. Chair, since I wasn't allowed equal time to debate, I have a UC. It is from, it looks like Yahoo News. It says, Charlie Kirk suspect's grandma says family is all MAGA.
Without objection, so ordered. Chair recognizes Ms. Green from Georgia.
Mr. Chair, may I have a UC as well?
We'll recognize you next time. Chair, Ms. Green, it's your 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can assure you that the man, the 22-year-old man, Tyler Robinson, that murdered Charlie Kirk is not MAGA. His family may be Republican, but all of the evidence that is being presented proves that he is a far leftist, very much integrated in online groups that are linked to Antifa. He was in a relationship with a biological male, so-called furry, whatever that is, that is transitioning to be a fake woman. That is, he was not MAGA, not one bit. That is a complete lie.
The fact that Jasmine Crockett reads like a one-liner in Yahoo and just runs with it and wants to get that on the record is pretty absurd, but it's not surprising. This is what they do. They don't want to take any type of blame for the terrorists that they've raised, the ones that they've infiltrated. And they would love to spin this and pretend like this is somehow MAGA. It's not MAGA. You and I both know that. Joining me to discuss is Lisa Logan. She is an InfoWars contributor. And I am very honored to have her on the program today because I need Lisa's help in understanding how this happens. How do they infiltrate so deeply where they're able to just completely have these children abandon their at-home values and then somehow get wrapped up into this world of furries? And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But mostly how we even get to this point where he can't stand Charlie Kirk enough, where he allegedly goes and assassinates him. So, Lisa, how did we get here?
I think that's the question that everyone's been asking, Brianna, right? And I think that's actually one of the things that struck me last week as they finally discovered who they thought was the shooter. And the news came out that his father had been the one to turn him in. I was actually really, you know, obviously I feel super bad for Charlie Kirk's family as well. But I think it's not lost on me that those parents tried their best to raise that child that they brought into this world with their values. And if they're MAGA, then those are pro-liberty and pro-freedom, and they support the Constitution and everyone's right to free speech. And I had already started this article, and I thought in light of all that situation, this was the perfect backdrop to start talking about how do these kids turn away from their familial beliefs, their core foundational identity that they're raised with, and adopt all of these leftist and collectivist ideologies. And so really what the crux of my article is about that was published on InfoWars this week, really it's about how these brainwashing tactics, which were widely used actually in the 60s and 70s. It was called sensitivity training or T groups or kind of spun out into other things like encounter groups and S and Synanon and other things. How these tactics were actually rejected by a CIA psychologist in a memorandum. He was asked, hey, should we bring this into the CIA agency? And he was like, no, they actually have the ability to suspend individual judgment. Because really what the crux of the matter is they use group experience techniques to basically change your values, change your attitudes and beliefs. And this is now resurfaced in the 90s and has been in place in our education system as social emotional learning.
Yeah, and it's something that's really concerning how long it's been going on for and how it's infiltrated. Can you kind of walk us through the steps as to like how now everyday schools have been infiltrated with this type of ideology?
I'm happy to. Really, during the 90s, our whole education system was restructured. It used to be very much about academics and measuring academics. Now, it's about measuring everything about the whole child, including their emotions. And here's the problem is when you bring these types of moral type, ethical type questions into education, you have to ask yourself, whose morals, whose ethics? And that's really the issue here is really what they've done is now we're doing all these check-ins with kids, right? How are you feeling today? You know, they have to put their happy face or their sad face. They are teaching them social skills, but social skills that buy into others, you know, like in social emotional learning programs, they're teaching kids, hey, in order to be empathetic, in order to be compassionate, you have to believe if someone's a furry, you have to believe they're actually a furry. They're actually an animal and they just identify that way. They're teaching them to, you know, it's really this whole idea is that your words are violence, right? And this is really where the rubber meets the road in the situation that happened last week is that if you're constantly worried about your feelings and how everybody's, what everybody's saying is affecting you or how what you're saying is affecting everybody else, that's your worldview all the time. And they're really breaking kids' spirits. They're breaking their identity. They're causing a lot of cognitive dissonance, which is traumatizing to kids. And this is why you see situations that happened last week and why our kids are in the streets angry, hateful of America, hateful of our Constitution.
Yeah. Yeah. And Lisa, okay, so I found out the hard way what a furry was. I was walking my dog in the park in Texas and I was walking with a friend and we had stumbled upon like a couple of people who were dressed up and I was like, oh, maybe there's like a kid's birthday party going on upstairs. And so we go to follow, we keep going. And before I know it, there's a bunch of people gathered, probably 25 plus, and they're all dressed up as these weird figures. And my dog, Giuseppe, who actually kind of looks like them because he's a Pomeranian, was staring at all these people and was very confused, was very creeped out by them. And he didn't want to take a picture with them, even though they wanted to take a picture with him. But I learned this lesson the hard way. But the reality of it is this looks like something that'd be welcoming for kids. I mean, this looks like a cartoon character. And so when I'm reading this New York Post article about this guy, Tyler Robinson, who is allegedly a part of the furry shades of gay porn video games that are online, and he's getting wrapped up into all of this, I'm deeply concerned with children who are going online who might be just thinking, oh, look, these are friendly cartoons or these are friendly furries that I could, you know, join and watch the videos and stuff. And then it turns into this sexually explicit content. How do we protect kids from this? Because again, this looks like it's being angled at children.
I think parents have to do a better job of A, talking to their children about the difference between reality and not reality. I think we have to be aware of where they're visiting online. You know, I think myself, I have three kids. We do not let them allow them to have social media. It's a waste of their time. We encourage them to do better things with their time. And granted, when they're older, they can do what they want. But really, I think this is being fed. And social emotional learning really primes the pump for them to be indoctrinated, whether it be at school or on social media platforms or in chat rooms like the one that Tyler Robinson was in. And the way it does that is it was based on the whole idea of a German social psychologist named Kurt Lewin. And he had a three-step change model to change people's values, attitudes, and beliefs. And it was unfreeze. Think of an ice cube, right? Unfreeze. Okay. Now it's a liquid. It forms to whatever container you put it in, right? And then you change it and then you rephrase it. And unfortunately, where these methods were cultivated in the national training laboratories, they had a problem. They weren't really good at rephrasing people. So what happens, this traumatizes kids. This traumatizes them and it leaves them vulnerable to these kinds of chat rooms and things because what happens is it causes this state where they have two conflicting beliefs kind of like, you know, bumping around in their head. And it traumatizes them because A, they're being taught that those core beliefs that they were raised with are wrong, that maybe their parents were lying to them. I mean, think of how that would shake a child's core, right? To think that my parents lied to me about the world. And then they're in simultaneously being encouraged and coerced through these group experiences to adopt the values of their new family, right? Whether that be that chat room, that group at school, or otherwise. So, I mean, really this, parents have to be aware of A, how this is happening to their kids in school, and have these conversations and be really strong with your kids and the values that you're raising them with. And then secondly, really be aware of what your kid is doing online.
Yeah. And that's the big one in all of this, because we know when there's predators that they're using, you know, Discord and a lot of these things that, kids strongly rely on and that they're using these days. And, it's very easy for them to get swept up in all of this. Lisa, thank you for all the incredible work you're doing. And again, for our audience, you got to head on over to Infowars.com because her latest piece is available right now. And I keep telling you guys, Infowars.com has some of the greatest pieces that you'll ever see. We have some great contributors, some great reporters. And it could all be found there. Lisa, thank you for joining us today. We greatly appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. All right, folks, I told you that in the next hour, we're going to be taking calls. So you got to give us a ring over at 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539. That's where you're going to want to call into the show. If I miss something, am I not saying something that you want me to talk about? Give us a ring. Give us a call. We'll love to have you on the program today. But before we get into all of that, obviously, I've got a lot more to discuss. I wanted to highlight something that the White House put out yesterday because I thought it was beautiful. They put out, and it brought a tear to my eye, but it's really important that we remember who Charlie Kirk was and the message he leaves behind. So the White House did an incredible job at putting together a little tribute video for him. And I wanted to take a moment to look at back at Charlie's life and all the great that he did for our country.
Good evening. My name is Erica Kirk. Charlie Kirk is my husband. Charlie always said that when he was gone, he wanted to be remembered for his courage and for his faith. Now and for all eternity, he will stand at his Savior's side, wearing the glorious crown of a martyr. Charlie loved life. He loved his life. He loved America. But most of all, Charlie loved his children. And he loved me with all of his heart. And I knew that. Every day I knew that. The evildoers responsible for my husband's assassination have no idea what they have done. They killed Charlie because he preached a message of patriotism, faith, and of God's merciful love. But they should all know this. If you thought that my husband's mission was powerful before, you have no idea. You have no idea what you just have unleashed across this entire country and this world. You have no idea. You have no idea the fire that you have ignited within this wife.
Charlie, you didn't deserve it. May God bless your family.
The cries of this widow will echo around the world like a battle cry.
People across the country are gathering, holding memorial services and vigils to honor Charlie Kirk's memory and his message.
Everyone listening tonight across America, the movement my husband built will not die. It won't. I refuse to let that happen. It will not die. It will become stronger, bolder, louder, and greater than ever. I promise I will never let your legacy die. I promise I'll make Turning Point USA the biggest thing that this nation has ever seen. Rest in the arms of our Lord as he blankets you with the words I know your heart always strives to hear. Well done, my good and faithful servant.
Charlie. You put all this together, my man. Let's hear it.
I am just humbled by God. That's great.
That's all I can say.
It's done. I want you to remember that we did not earn this. This is God's mercy on our country.
An incredible job the White House did putting that out. I don't know how we don't cry every time we look at these videos. The message that Charlie Kirk had for the American people, it's one of hope, but it's really upsetting to see. And, you know, we keep talking about on this show, but I know they all want to talk about unity now and coming together, but there will be no unity for what they did to that man and to that family and to his wife, to his kids. There's no such thing as unity at this point in the game. What they did and how they've reacted after he was assassinated, it will never be forgotten. These people are absolutely egregious. They are the enemy. We continue to sit here and, you know, after all these tragedies, after all the times they come throwing bullets our way, we pretend like there's some hope of unity. Those days of unity, I think, are long gone at this point. There would have to be a lot the left does to prove that they're worthy of unity at this point. But they've decided to take the complete opposite route on that front. So we're excited to hear, though, from Ms. Kirk, because she will be speaking at his services later today. There's a memorial planned for him. President Trump will also be there as well. And she is now going to be running Turning Points. And as Charlie said, she's more conservative than he was. So we look forward to seeing how far she's going to take it. Because, folks, you pissed off the wrong woman. And the look in her eyes when she gave that speech, when she looked dead in the camera and declared war on all the wrongdoers who went after her husband, the evildoers. That's a woman you don't want to tick off. All right, let's take a turn for a story that... you know, I want to make sure you guys see. I normally don't like citing the mainstream media. I know, don't beat me up for it. But there's a story in ABC that I think is worthy of your attention, because we're looking for signs of hope that the DOJ is actually doing what we elected President Trump's new administration to do. And so when I talk about that, I want to talk about what's going on right now. According to ABC News, they're claiming that they've spoken to sources that federal prosecutors have subpoenaed Dan Richman, a Columbia law professor who's friends with FBI Director James Comey. And they're alleging that that subpoena was issued last week. The subpoena is a part of a criminal probe into whether Comey lied during congressional testimony. Now, Richman and Comey did work together back in 2017 after being fired by President Donald Trump, who was upset that the FBI probe into his 2016 campaign election. That's what their ABC is referring to President Trump about. Richman met with prosecutors in the East District of Virginia on Tuesday of this week, according to ABC News, the source that they're speaking to. And again, the investigation is focusing on Comey's September 2020 congressional testimony about the Russian interference matter into the 2016 election. You remember the Russia hoax, the lies that they tried to spew. The media just ate it up. They literally just spoon-fed it. Because it was the narrative that they wanted us to talk about. It's egregious, but not surprising. Folks, I want to talk about Rashida Tlaib a bit, too. Because you've got a clip, and it's hard to listen to because Rashida Tlaib is such an unbearable woman. If you want to call her a woman. But Rashida Tlaib had like an entire mental breakdown yesterday. And it really makes you think... makes me think, like, why are we even electing women when they can't even hold their emotions together? Not just Rashida Tlaib, it happens with those on the right as well. But you got to listen to her back and forth that she did with Byron Donalds yesterday when she was trying to defend children who are being used by gangs throughout D.C. to commit violent crimes, you know, like murders, car robberies, and whatnot. But she decided to sit there and defend them as if they're just innocent children in clip 9.
Regards to, but I think it's important, Mr. Chair, just like in D.C., home rule was won out of black freedom struggle in the fight for civil rights. we can't be passive right now. So nobody over there should take anything we say so personally as if we're attacking them. No, we're attacking a process, not attacking people here. And I think it's really important. We need to stand up against this fascist takeover. That's not a bad word. It's a fact. And here in D.C. and across the country, it is so incredibly important, Mr. Chair, that this committee does not allow rhetoric that defames and or paints Washington, D.C. in a way that you all haven't really truly seen. You're just reading it. No, you're just reading it or something off of some.
Will the gentlelady yield to a question?
Yeah, I think it's really important.
Will the gentlelady yield?
No, I don't yield. I don't even have time. I can tell you.
Your time's expired.
It is expired. But Mr. Chair, but you all live here and you're not telling people the beautiful parts that you do see in our nation's capital. And no. It's just wrong how we're doing.
Chairman, I think it's insane that the gentlelady doesn't have an argument, but she's going to refer to me and some of my colleagues.
Mr. Donald,
we were from the Third Reich. This is insane.
You're going to look at 14, 15-year-olds as a bunch of criminals?
It's insane. Do I look like a member of the Third Reich to you, Ms. Tlaib? Is that what I look like to you?
You're the one taking your voice.
Is that what you think?
No, that's unethical.
I think it's radical and I think it's insane. And I'll respect everything that you say. But to say something like that to myself and a lot of my colleagues is way out of line. It's way out of line. It's way out of line.
Regular order, Mr. Chairman.
Way out of line.
Regular order.
That's okay. But it's okay, right?
That is not how it goes.
It's okay, right?
You hold yourself accountable before you talk about
Washington. Hold myself accountable. Hold your own self accountable. How about that? Hold your own self accountable. How about that?
Free DC.
Animal. She is an absolute animal, Rashida Tlaib. She's unhinged, mentally unstable, probably should be leading the Democratic Party at this point because she's obviously qualified to do just that. But speaking of unhinged and not really all there in the head, clip 10 is a highlighted point that Chicago commie mayor Brandon Johnson wants you all at home to understand that law enforcement does nothing to actually prevent crime. Take a listen.
The fact of the matter is we are driving violence down on this city and we're using every single resource that's available to us. Jails and incarceration and law enforcement is a sickness that has not led to safe communities.
Oh, the lies that they cook up to defend their criminals that they want to represent. Not surprising at all. Folks, I want to remind you, we are celebrating over here the 1-year anniversary of the AlexJonesStore.com. You got to head on over right now, because it's our 1-year anniversary fundraiser sale. And so some of your favorite items are on sale right now, like the t-shirts, the hats. They are $25, normally $35. And when you spend over $75, we're going to give you a free $11 to spend at the store. There's also several items that are 50% off on your one-time orders. So head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us up and running and support our work. We'll be right back with more to unpack.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I saw this a few weeks ago. We got it done. That young girl that is the return of the British queen that fought the Romans, Boudica. Look at this. The West awakens. Look at this badass shirt, ladies and gentlemen. It's got a red InfoWars over the heart on the left, and then it's got her on the back. I designed this shirt. I think it's amazing. The West awakens 2025. This is a badass shirt, and it literally funds people totally committed to freedom. Then we've got Virtue Signal, and it's the Cracker Barrel symbol right there that we updated there. So we got that. We've also got another, the West Awakens with the hatchet and the butcher knife, ladies and gentlemen. Get them now at theyellowstonestore.com. But what you really want is the ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, all of it massively discounted, 25% off across the store, apparel, all of it. We've got buy one bottle already discounted, the Shilajit or the Atomic Defense Immune Boost, and get another bottle half off. The point is, we got war bonds. That's a nice little piece of art you get with my face on it. You get $110 for $100. It's mailed to you as a promo code on it for the site. But everybody that becomes a VIP, $30 a month, it's like being Amazon Prime. You get $40 to spend each month right when you pay that. You cancel any time. Get a special deal, special offer, special sales. I need your support. Wars aren't cheap. So what do good salesmen do? They sell good products. You are insane if you don't get our methylene blue. You are crazy if you don't get our Ultimate Life Force Blood Detox. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. Take action now and get these new limited edition shirts like the F Around Find Out.
Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to American Journal. I am Brianna Morello, and I'm very excited that you guys are here as we head into the third hour of the program. Man, oh man, we have made it. There's so much going on in the world today, and, you know, we do our very best to make sure we hit all the headlines that the mainstream media will refuse to talk about. You know, I used to sit in my editorial meetings when I was over at the other networks, and every one of my ideas would, there was like a 90% failure rate when I'd sit there and I'd say, I've got a really good story that we should talk about today. And like, no. We're just going to stick to like the basic topics, you know, nothing risky, nothing that would actually change the minds and help America out. No, we couldn't do that. So you literally get all the stories that would get rejected from the corporate media meetings. And I'm very honored to be the one to do just that. So thank you for being here. In the first part of the third hour, we're going to be taking your calls. And we've got a lot of great callers, I know, on hold right now. I'm looking forward to the discussion. This is when we get to kind of indulge a little bit and have you guys take control of the topics. I want to get to everyone on the calls, so to remind everyone, we're going to keep it as quick as we possibly can because there's a lot of people calling, and I always feel bad. I know you guys wait on hold, and I want to talk to all of you. So if you're on hold right now, don't go anywhere because I'm going to try to get to everyone as we always do. But then there's also a lot more we're going to talk about. You know, we have incredible reporters and contributors at Infowars.com who are constantly putting out stories that you won't see anywhere else. And so we've got one journalist who does a great job over at Infowars.com, Dan Lyman, joining us for the second half of this hour. And Dan has been working on a ton of stories, and he's well-traveled. So we're going to have him breaking those stories for us, too, as well. I'm going to ask him as well as about Antifa. Because I know he's someone, again, who's been well-traveled. He's very well aware as to where Antifa, the roots of Antifa are and how it is in Europe and how it made its way over here to the United States. And so I look forward to talking to him about that. So that's some of the good news that you guys are going to have to sit tight for, of course. But, you know, we're also going to be talking about Jimmy Kimmel. I can't let go of this. I love the fact that Jimmy Kimmel has been canceled. Normally, I don't cheerlead for cancel culture. I actually am very much against it. But you know what? When the people who were cheerleading for, pushing it, promoting it, encouraging it, celebrating it, are the ones who are being canceled themselves, we have to take a victory lap. Now, it's not because I want them canceled. I want them to see what they've done, the beast that they've created. Because Jimmy Kimmel is somebody who what? Went after Tucker Carlson, Roseanne, had no problem going after these great people. Celebrating the fact that they lost their jobs. Why? Because you didn't like what they had to say? You disagreed with them? Well, now the roles have turned, tables have turned. It's interesting to see how he's handling it. Now he's on the other side of cancel culture. Warren Report's not handling it very well. He's unhinged, but we've all known that. So it's interesting to sit back and to watch this all unravel. So I'll dig into that a little bit. Also, you know, Dan Lyman's going to be detailing a story that is absolutely egregious, and it's up right now on Infowars.com as well. Another illegal alien arrested for drunk driving and mowing down a 16-year-old girl that he was trying to sexually harass. Now, although those are allegations, we could say if you're harassing a 16-year-old girl, sexually harassing her, you're a predator. And you don't belong in this country in the first place. So Dan Lyman's going to break down that story for us. A lot happening all around the world. And that's what Dan Lyman's great for. You know, I turn to him. I follow him on his social media as well. He's got all the stories, again, that no one else wants to talk about. So we look forward to that second half of the program after we finish taking your calls. Folks, I want to remind you again, we're having a great sale. It's only for 1 week only. That means it's ending very, very soon. So if you haven't indulged yet, you got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It's our one-year anniversary fundraiser sale. Life is fiery with its beauty. And you guys know Alex loves that line. Head on over right now. Support our programs. Every time you make a purchase over at the Alex Jones store, you keep us up and running. And right now, as a thank you to all of you great patriots, you're going to indulge on the sales that we have going on right now. Your hats, your shirts that you guys love so very much. Those are on sale for $25 for this week only, as well as when you spend $75, you're going to get an extra $11 to use at the shop as well. And oh, that tinfoil hat. You know, Chase actually gave me a roll of the tinfoil hat that I can make myself. I've got to make myself one. It gives you extra brain power. Now, that's not a promise from Alex. I just think, in my own take, that that's what it does. So head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Those goblins single-handedly, but I couldn't have done it without the help of Ultimate Burn. Order yours now.
Fight the globalists and unlock maximum cognitive power with MK Ultra, an advanced neuroboost formula.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks, to the American Journal. I am Brianna Morello, and we're excited to have you here in the third hour of the program. A lot going on. I actually just got a breaking news alert that 58 Democrats declined to support a resolution to honor Charlie Kirk in the House. Absolutely egregious, but, you know, they are treasonous pigs, so really not surprising at all. But we're excited that you guys are still here today because, we're about to dive in some calls. I know a lot of you have a lot to say, and my first caller is someone who is a loyalist to both my program and now the American Journal. He is one of my big defenders on X as well. We want to welcome Ed from Virginia to the program. Ed, thanks for jumping on with us today. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Brianna.
Thank you for being here. Now, I see you want to talk Antifa and terrorism. What can we hear from you?
Yeah, I just want to know what it means for him to actually designate them a terrorist organization. I mean, where do we go from there?
Yeah, so I think that's going to help. Yeah,
Go ahead.
I think it's actually going to help President Trump be able to do more investigative work into the organization. You're able to gain more subpoena power. You're able to go out there and kind of regroup. I also believe it amplifies any potential criminal charges against the organization. So you probably would be able to do to be able to get stiffer penalties from a criminal angle on that. But I'm not an attorney. I'm just guessing at that point. But I do think that's the case. You know, it's crazy because we had no problem when it was, you know, the Biden-Obama years. You know, they had no problem designating legitimate news organizations, InfoWars as domestic terrorist groups. But for some reason, you know, I'm upset, but, they haven't been able to get the ball rolling on this. You know, Ed, you and I have talked about it before, and we know that Marjorie Taylor Greene has presented legislation to designate them as terrorist organizations. And, there's really been no movement on it. So I think President Trump might do that today at the White House. That's a speculatory kind of comment to make there, but he is signing an executive order. But I think this is going to help them with locking these people up and to be able to follow the money a little bit. Any final comment?
Do you think that Congress would pass that if he owes it? Do you think they would eventually pass that into the law?
I don't know, Ed. I think that they defend their own, they protect their own. And so I'm not sure. I mean, the fact that they can't even agree to honor Charlie Kirk's memory tells me that we might get a little bit of pushback. I hope we can, because they're leading violence all across the country. They've been doing so for years now. But we heard early in the show, like, Jerry Nadler doesn't even think that they're a real thing. They just think it's a myth. So I hope we can, but the fact that it's been stalled out for this long, and it's not even the first time that MTG has introduced it, this is now her second time, doesn't give me much in the way of hope. But President Trump should make this a top priority to push back, because if they want money, if they want donations, if they want funding for these midterms, President Trump has a lot of power in that say. So I think he should balance that out a bit. Ed, thank you for calling, my friend. I greatly appreciate it. I want to get to Wild in Wisconsin, because I hear you got a lot on your mind in regards to organ harvesting. So welcome to the show, Wild.
Hey, Brianna. I love the Grimace skin dress you have on, the purple dress.
Thank you.
I love that color.
Thank you.
And the nails look great. The hair looks great. Everything looks great.
We're setting the bar high here at InfoWars. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, you're the most stylish one now.
Thank you.
But I was I wanted to talk about the organ harvesting stuff. People really don't talk about the other angle of that, which is like the heterochronic parabiasis angle. And basically what that means is like you're connecting limbs or the entire person, but in this case it was an animal study, of a young animal or human to an old animal or human, and it reverse ages them. So basically in this study, they did a scientific study. They took old mice and they connected a young mouse to the old mouse, and in a separate time connected just the limb, and the old mouse reverse aged. They went from gray to normal colored fur. They were able to move around, their organs healed. And it's one of the only methods we know of now that scientifically is proven for reverse aging. And people are, RFK is talking about it, and other people are talking about the organ harvesting. But there's also an epidemic in the U.S. and worldwide of people getting unnecessarily amputated, getting their limbs chopped off when they don't need to, especially young people. And I have a feeling they're taking those limbs and selling them on the black market or the medical market to reverse age people. There was a movie with Kurt Russell, Escape from L.A., the plastic surgery scene where they discussed this kind of pre-programming. So I really wish RFK would also look into that because, you know, obviously someone gets their arms or legs removed for no reason. They live the rest of their life kind of disabled, you know, handicapped and to a certain degree. And it happened to me personally, so that's why I'm upset. They almost took my arm at a hospital after a car accident, and I didn't let them.
Yeah.
It was, like, crazy. My arm was all swollen and zigzag, and they were like, yeah, we might have to go into surgery. And I'm like, surgery for what? And they're like, yeah, to take your arm. And I'm like, where? Take it on vacation, you know? So I signed the papers and got out of there, and my arm healed up fine. And, of course, they gave me the medical jargon of, like, oh, the blood is going to get infected and necrotic and go to your organs and you're going to die. And none of that happened. And my arm is perfectly fine today and healed up fine. So I think they're doing it to a lot of young people. I think they're exporting these limbs. And I really think that it's great that RFK is looking into the organ transplant, but he also needs to look at the amputee epidemic going on right now. And as far as I know, I think they're making, when they're doing these organ harvesting deals and limb amputation, millions of dollars sometimes. So there's definitely an incentive for these people to do that. And they're getting away with it, you know? And there's also rumors that some people have said that they're selling the limbs to human cannibals, like people like rumored like Trisha Teigen and stuff. Other celebrities have talked about it, and whistleblowers have talked about it. So just something kind of a little gruesome for a Friday morning, you know. But with all the organ harvesting news, to bring that up. And
I know.
If you guys go to the hospital to make sure they don't steal your arm, you know, and connect it to Joe Biden, he reverse ages, and we have to deal with Joe Biden in 100 years from now.
You know, I've actually never heard this angle on it, and I'm very into the organ harvesting stories and something that I've tried to read into and study upon because I think it's interesting. This is a whole new project you've just assigned me now, Wild, and I am so thankful that you didn't get your arm removed because that is absolutely horrifying. But it's kind of like what we talked about with Tom Renz as to being your best medical advocate when you're admitted to the hospital, or if you can't, you get one who already is. I think it's really important. I mean, that is absolutely egregious. And I'm thankful that you picked up and you left because of it. Now you still have your arm. I mean, that is insane. And something else I'm going to have to look into after the show today. I want to talk to Mike in Chicago. Mike, I hear you have a lot on your mind regarding hate and how it's not crime. What's going on today?
Yeah. Hi, Brianna. I'm calling specifically about hate speech and hate crime issues. I'm just a regular guy, and I'm trying to appeal to any lawyers out there to fight this battle on the angle that hate is not a crime. Hate is a motive for a crime. If you commit a crime, then they look for motive, and it might have been hate, might have been love. This is an absurdity saying that hate is a crime or hate speech is a crime and investigating people for their speech. Otherwise, look at the opposite flip side of it. Okay, what if they said it's a love crime? If we're going to go down this absurd road, and why don't they say like, oh, well, this guy loves murder. That's why he murders people. Or he loves cars. That's why he steals cars. It's just an absurdity. It's just a motive for a crime. Should be law school 101. And where are the lawyers? You follow me?
Yes, I am. And no, Tom Renz is taking on that fight. I mean, he has had enough of it. He wants to make sure that the term hate crime isn't used against the American people, and it's not used as something to justify going after people who are just sharing their thoughts. And this is also a good.
God bless Tom.
Yeah, Tom is. I mean, I don't know how he does it. Every time I talk to him, I feel guilty asking him to come on the show because I know he's very busy. But I mean, Charlie Kirk said it best: hate speech does not exist. So, it's something that we need to definitely keep our eye on. And I'm glad you're bringing it up as well. We need to have these conversations, Mike. So I think it's really important. Thank you for joining us today. Derek in New Jersey, I want to welcome you to the program because you got a lot to talk about. We might actually agree. I see that you want to talk about Pam Bondi. Hi, Derek.
Hi, Brianna. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, my friend?
Good. Yeah, I think you're great. And congratulations on the gig at InfoWars.
Thank you.
I think it's well-deserved. Just wanted to say that.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. First of all, I was just a huge Trump supporter, especially at first. I was kind of like waiting for him to become president since I was a kid watching Oprah when it broadcast with my mother, you know, after school one time. You know, it's like, wait, he would be a great president. And lo and behold, he actually eventually did it. So, you know, I'm starting from that vantage point. But what I see lately is it seems like he's compromised to me for all the various reasons. And if he's like, why didn't he do this Antifa as a terrorist organization, like back in his last presidency? That's my opinion about that. And if he does go ahead and finally do it from pressure and, you know, his friend getting killed and everything, then why is he still saying all these good things about Pam Bondi when she, I see her as basically a globalist plant at this point? She is just useless. She's a moderate at best rhino type.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you're more aware of all the things that she's done than I am. You know, the way she was involved in the Epstein debacle early on when they let him get away with murder in the beginning.
Yeah. There's a lot of red flags. And I mean, I don't need the pun, but I mean, she supported red flag laws in Florida. She helped, according to one journalist, she helped put a fake witness on the stand during the Trayvon Martin trial. She allowed it to happen. She used social media influencers who weren't at the White House to do anything with the Epstein files, but she used them as props for herself, silenced them by saying that there's embargo over the binder material after she made them go in front of the cameras and not talk about it. And then, you know, I obviously got the material knowing that there was nothing in those binders, and I released that report. Everything that you see, like these people, I know everyone attacks them on social media, but they weren't at the White House to do this. And they didn't know what was in those binders. But Pam Bondi took advantage of these people and decided to give them this stuff because she wanted to, I guess, do a PR stunt. But when they went into the other room after, you know, going through the content of the binder, they realized nothing was in there that was new or incriminating. And they also found a letter that she had sent because she put it in there to Cash Patel saying that she was actually missing things, that things weren't turned over to her. So she decided to use them as a political prop. Somebody in that group was very upset and sent this all to me, and then I leaked it because she embargoed it. I mean, think about this. Okay, so when you work in media, let me explain what an embargo means. It means the content that's in that binder, she doesn't want you releasing it up until a certain deadline. So I believe for her, it was 3 p.m. Eastern time. She wanted them to not say anything, to keep it to themselves. And so someone was really ticked off, sent it to me. And normally I would respect embargoes, but the fact that she had them walk in front of the cameras, I think around noon, and so for 3 hours they weren't able to defend themselves or protect their reputations, they sent it to me. I immediately released it. So I don't think Pam Bondi is a good person. I actually think that she's a bad pick for AG. Like, she's a bad human being, but definitely not somebody you want in there, because you want a pit bull. We want somebody who's going to go after the machine. You know, I'm a little far right these days. I actually, the other day, told my friend I'm a moderate. And he's like, Brianna, you are not moderate. You are far off the cliff. But, you know, I would like someone replacing her, like Mike Davis, but doing an incredible job as attorney general. We've got to get her out of there, though. She is just taking up time, and it is not going to go well for us. Thanks for calling in, Derek, on that front, because I really appreciate you bringing up Pam Bondi, because whenever I get a moment to just rip her a new one, I appreciate that. Kristen in California, I hear you have a lot on your mind as well in regards to a personal story, and we are all ears. So thank you for joining us.
Yes. I actually got a paper in my kids' backpack at the beginning of the week for a partnering with the Kelvin Education, like wellness surveys. And we didn't get them last year, so this is a new. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a non-consent form to sign and send back instead of, because normally you get, you know, consent papers to consent to things. So it's kind of like, I think it's like a trick to, you know, because the parent sees it and they're like thinking, oh, it's just a consent form, I'm not going to send it in, so that they're not, you know, consenting. But you have to sign it to not consent and send it back. And it's a district-wide online student surveys, 1 through 8th grade. And it's their objective, apparently, I mean, I'm reading off their paper, is to gain valuable information about the effectiveness of social emotional lessons and to help support the social emotional health of our community. And I'm like, you know, my kid was all excited about it. And I'm like, oh, no, we're not doing this. So you better make sure you take this back to your teacher, because this is not okay. And, you know, their children are innocent of the knowledge behind the motives behind all of this. And parents, most parents, you know, think that they're doing a good thing. And it's a positively motived activity when, you know, in reality, it's like foot in the door for the emotional, you know, crap that they're trying to put in on our kids and stuff. So yeah. I thought it was very absurd, and I was just like, I was shocked. So I made sure and told everybody I knew, you know, at my school, you know, my sister and my friends about it. So I thought that was weird.
Yeah. And it's so crazy. It's so crazy. Cause it sounds, and this is what's so unfortunate. Cause it sounds like it could possibly be something good, but it's not. But it's not. And they're hoping that you're not a parent who's involved and knows any of these things. And that's what they're kind of strongly relying on from that front. It's so unfortunate. It really is so unfortunate. And it just makes for the argument of homeschooling your kids. But I mean, who has time for that nowadays? So.
Oh yeah, I'm a stay at home. I'm a stay at home, 4 kids under the ages of 8, and I barely have time to even think. So I mean, there's going to be a time where I will have to homeschool my kids, I'm sure. So, I mean, It just puts more stress and strain on the parents, and I'm alone, so it's tough on my part for sure. But it's better than the alternative.
Yeah. No, it really is. It really is. I mean, I now that I'm older, I get it. But you know, growing up, I was 1 of 7, and my mom was a stay at home mom, and I just never understood how she did it. But now that I've gotten older, I really don't understand how she did it. I don't understand how, you know, the stay at home mom thing, it's, you're actually working significantly harder than I think my father was working at the office. And so, it's a lot of credit there, because it's not an easy task. It really isn't. So good on you for being as involved as you are. Cause I don't think most people would have even noticed, what they were looking to do. So good on you. Thank you for calling in today. Charlie in Tennessee. I want to get him on the line too. Charlie, welcome to the program. I hear you have something you'd like to mention.
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
I can. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, first time, long time, love the products. And I don't know you or the show, but I'm an old roadie, and it's just a reoccurring pattern. But Charlie Kirk's assassination was on purpose. It was tragic. It was horrific. But we're not going to be able to assemble anymore, because, I mean, it's just, we're getting stuck in this digital pipeline. It's getting skinnier and skinnier.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I think, because it's like, art imitates life. And like I said, I've been around. I mean, I've seen this after 9/11. I've seen it when rap music kind of turned gangster in my business. But, and I have all kinds of questions about what happened in Utah, because the whole setup was bad from pre-production on.
Yeah.
Because I did big live events outside, and I did stuff where the president was there and different things. And it's just, it smells to high heaven to me.
Yeah.
The whole thing. And I'm just, part of me, I'm still in shock, but I hate the direction we're going, because they'll make everything digital, and who's going to be the private contractors, you know, looking after that?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when I saw the footage, and I never, and this is even before Utah, when I see that Charlie was doing these events outside, I was always concerned. But obviously, like, I don't know him personally, but it just always seemed like a really dangerous thing to do. I know that, like, I received death threats, but, like, I wasn't out there doing public appearances. I actually don't do them just for that reason alone, because you never know who's going to go out there and plot and do something like this. That's absolutely horrific. But the fact that, I mean, it's such an open space. He doesn't have a Secret Service detail. This is whoever he's paying to run security for him. It's just devastating. And I think, I don't know if we have it confirmed yet, but I mean, there's individuals who thought they were seeing someone on the roof. I don't know if they ever alerted them. I just don't, the roof thing to me is just such a vulnerability, given the fact that we saw what happened to President Trump in Butler County. We all saw that.
But that's what I'm talking about. Even from a pre-production design standpoint, none of this is being factored in. I mean, it's just how you do your setups. I did a lot of different things over the years. I coordinated with all kinds of alphabet soup. And when you're doing pre-production and line production, I know a ton of people. But I'm just telling, even the local fire marshal, I'd be having questions for them. They didn't have enough security there, period. Even for the cops, for that many people, they should have more security there. That's a venue thing, just for insurance.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Something's not right.
Yeah.
Something wasn't right with Butler either, but that's a whole different thing. We ain't got time to talk about that, because I know you want to get to other people, but
yeah.
There's so many variables involved. But just the way you do the setup, you can kind of cut down on some of the lines of sight and different things. And people got to start taking this in consideration. But that's what I'm afraid of. We're just not really going to be able to assemble anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you might be onto something there. I mean, I don't want to say that this is going to, because the goal here was to silence us. That's what the goal always is. And so I want to say that we're going to be able to assemble. But I know we definitely can't do it in open spaces like this anymore.
And inside is a different thing, but like I said, when you're talking about big time things, Secret Service is terrible on temporary structure and rigging and stuff. Mm. I know this. I've been around. They've got all kinds of things. People got to start paying attention. This stuff is dangerous. Like I said, it is real. And even on the local level, the authorities need to take it seriously. Because to me, it seems like the whole, like there's, who knows what happened, but it just smells. The whole thing seems off to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. We'll probably know a little bit more as it continues. I know Ken Silva is someone who digs into these cases and goes through the court documents. So as more pops up, we're going to have him on the show at least once a week to detail what's going on. In that case, I know he's following it. Plus, he's still digging into Butler County. So we'll try our very best on this program, I know, to figure out what actually happened here, because it's something that we need to discuss. And I want to thank you, Charlie, for calling in today to bring that to our attention. Folks, I just got a little bit of breaking news from President Donald Trump. He just posted on Truth Social. He didn't just call me personally, but he did just post on Truth Social saying that he just finished a productive meeting with Xi Jinping of China, and they're making impressive progress in regards to the fight between trade, fentanyl, and they were also bringing up the Ukraine-Russia war and how they needed to end, and ways to improve the TikTok deal as well. So he's just making that announcement that he just wrapped up that call on Truth Social. We have the best control room, because the fact that they were able to get it up that quickly is very, very impressive. Folks, we've got one of my good friends joining me next, Dan Lyman. He's coming on to the show. He's one of the great reporters here at Infowars.com, and he's got some incredible stories to break to us in just a few moments. So do not go anywhere. More next.
Agent Jones leaps from the sky, martini in hand, danger closing in fast. Dodging bullets and charming every woman in sight, he discovers the prize, a briefcase full of stolen war bonds. Not from the Queen. From the AlexJonesStore.com. Every bond fuels the mission. Every purchase keeps the fight alive. Support the show, because in this world, the only license that matters is to resist.
This is a little piece of art, a really nice memento. And when you order for $100 an InfoWars war bond, it gets mailed to you with a one-time promo code you use. So when I show these on air, whoever puts one of these in first gets $110. But when it comes in the mail, you can use it once for $110 in the store. And then it's a nice memento to know that you supported the operation in such a key, critical time. Alex Jones War Bond, $110. Redeem your $110 War Bond right now. Just enter the gift code below at checkout, and it will then pay for your purchase, and then you get to keep the War Bond to hang on the wall, a nice little memento. Get your Alex Jones War Bonds right now, and you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, so $770 right here for whoever watching live puts in one of these codes first. You get $110 to spend in the store. But for everybody else, they also make great gifts. You can also watch the show at thealexjonesstore.com. There's a listen live area right there with the streams, thealexjonesstore.com. And even if the globalists are successful at shutting down InfoWars, which they're not going to be, I believe, in a celebration of the Alex Jones Store officially being open for business for 1 year, we're launching the Light Is Fire with Its Beauty 1 year anniversary fundraiser sale. For this week only, all shirts and hats are just $25, not $35. Plus, we're giving everyone a free $11 to spend on the store this week at checkout. And it doesn't stop there. All orders of Ultimate Burn, an incredible natural weight loss formula, are 50% off to celebrate the fire of liberty burning within the heart of every info warrior. Be the reason, as Chase Geyser says, we will always be on the air. And I humbly and respectfully thank you for all of your support.
Powered by Ultimate Burn, he hits the street, running through the city with fire in his feet. Punching slabs of beef, sweat starts to rise. Strength in his heart, you can see in his eyes. It's the fist of freedom, the power, the might, fueled by Ultimate Burn. He's ready to fight. Bill Gates falls, Schwab hits the ground. Humanity saved with the victory sound.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like... Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
week.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think that this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So it's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
We're excited that you guys are here on American Journal. We got a lot to discuss with one of the incredible reporters over at Infowars.com. Mr. Dan Lyman's joining the show today because he's got a lot of headlines up right now on the website that he wants to talk to you about. And these are important stories that you won't see anywhere else because everyone's too afraid to talk about these stories. But Dan isn't, and he joins us now. Dan, welcome to the show. I see we just got kind of like a breaking story that just went up on the website moments ago in regards to a Michigan official who posted disturbing videos days before Charlie Kirk's assassination. Welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about this new story that's up on Infowars.com right now.
Yeah, so I think we're the first outlet to cover this. As far as I know, there could be local outlets covering it. Mm-hmm. There's a radical extremist Democrat who goes by Mai Zhang. I think that's how you pronounce her name. She is a Hmong refugee who was welcomed into the United States years ago as a three-year-old. And has lived here ever since and is now in the Michigan State Legislature. She's a rep there and is known for extreme rhetoric against MAGA, against American values, against fellow Republican colleagues. obviously she couches this rhetoric in a way that is somewhat palatable, and her supporters seem to really like it. But given the recent events, I think these videos take on a whole different meaning. They were posted in the days before Charlie Kirk's assassination, but one of them was posted just 72 hours before. It was a cooking video that she posted to TikTok. And in the video, she jokes about slaying the chicken soup recipe and slaying Republicans at the same time. And she wields this massive blade, calling it her sword, and she sharpens it and then takes the head off of a chicken with this. The whole time there's a caption about slaying Republicans. And of course, some might find that humorous. Some might find that, you know, right at the edge. I think given what's gone on here, and that Democrats are the ones now calling for the political temperature to be turned down, this is definitely newsworthy and troubling. And days before, she posted another video on her TikTok inviting her supporters to watch her get ready with me video, getting ready to slay Republicans. So some people are pretty disturbed by this, and they're asking that the FBI investigate this. I don't know if this is an investigatable offense, but I think it's definitely worth looking into. So that's what we've covered today at InfoWars. I just published that.
Well, we're not bringing in our best, and we're not giving it to Michigan either. Michigan has just some of the most horrific refugees, immigrants, whatever you want to call them. They just all seem to migrate to the Michigan region, and it's not really.
And communist women in elected office in Michigan as well.
Yeah, we've got a lot of those. Too many. Too many. We need to go back to shaming these commies. I don't know why we don't do it anymore. But back in the day, that was something that I know was quite popular. We need to bring that one back. I want to talk about another story because this one has me infuriated, and it has to do with the Honduras illegal alien, who was apparently drunk mowing down a 16-year-old in New York City after he was sexually harassing her. It looks like those are the allegations he's currently facing. Break down this story.
Yeah, so this one's just really troubling. You know, I cover a lot of these horrific illegal alien crime stories, but this one really, really got me because there's actually video of it that's circulating now, and you don't have to speculate about what happened really in terms of the way that this poor girl lost her life. But it's funny, you do enough of these stories, you see the perp, you don't get too much info right at the front, but you say, you know what, looks like an illegal, smells like an illegal, behaves like an illegal, and sure enough, we got confirmation shortly after that that it was indeed an illegal alien, a previously deported illegal alien. So the story goes, according to reports, that this 16-year-old girl and her family, which consisted of her biological mother, her stepfather, and her boyfriend, according to reports. Also interesting to note that this family, all of them or some of them, came to the United States within the last 3 years from Venezuela. So we don't know what their immigration background was, but we won't dig too deep into that given what they're going through right now, of course. But anyways, they were outside of a – or they were at a restaurant, apparently a restaurant bar in Queens, in Elmhurst, Queens. And they exited the bar restaurant at sometime close to 4 a.m. So we can imagine they probably weren't having dinner, but they might have been for all we know. And when they went outside, there were some drunk, unruly men on the sidewalk, and they started making what appeared to be really nasty, lewd comments towards the girl and her mother. And this sparked a physical confrontation between the stepfather and the boyfriend and these men, who gave these guys a pretty good pummeling. And the suspect in question actually lost his shoes during the beating, which is humorous. If you just take that as an isolated incident, you can see him trying to put his shoes back on. He then stumbles off the off of the sidewalk and climbs into a Chevy Suburban, very large SUV, and apparently with the intent of running these people down, according to prosecutors, which he did. They were walking on the sidewalk, leaving the scene of the altercation, and he drove at them, hopped the curb, and ran into two of the women, the mother and daughter, and the girl, unfortunately, was killed, 16 years old. She was crushed between the vehicle and a light post. And so this guy then fled the scene, going the wrong way down a one-way street, could easily have injured or killed more people. He crashed his vehicle a few blocks after, was arrested, and it has since come out that he's a previously deported Honduran illegal with a lengthy rap sheet. He lived on Long Island, which you'll be familiar with, of course, and the problem with illegal aliens on Long Island in the sanctuary state of New York. Had two DUIs, one as recently as earlier this year, and was not removed from the country, has a long rap sheet and was allowed to stay in the country in the sanctuary state of New York, and has taken a life now and injured the girl's mother as well. So it remains to be seen whether or not New York City is going to cooperate with the ICE detainer that has been placed on this illegal.
Yeah, I mean, no surprise there. It's sad because, you know, obviously, like you mentioned, I'm from Long Island. They destroyed Long Island. And they're destroying Queens. I mean, Queens, you can't even walk around Queens anymore. It's sad. I used to go there. There's so many great restaurants, bars you go to. You can't anymore because it's been overthrown by illegal aliens. And, they're bringing the worst of the worst with them. They're animals. They're prostitutes. They're pimping girls out on the street, and you can't even walk around anymore. It's actually really sad. It really is sad. In high school, my parents didn't let me out of the house much, obviously. But when I did venture off and go to college, we used to love going around to the bars and the restaurants in Queens. And now you can't do that because it's been overtaken by illegal aliens. And sadly, the city doesn't do anything about it because those are their future voting base, as they know. So they won't go after them. But just another sad, sad story coming from this, you know, this invasion. I want to go to another story. I saw you covering it in regards to, we'll take things over to the EU right now, because you just recently posted a story about the European official who was raided 23 times by German police. I wonder what this could be about, Dan.
Indeed. So this is Peter Bistrun. We actually go way back with him at InfoWars. If the crew does roll any of the footage, you can roll up to about 2 or 3 minutes, and you can actually get a nice flashback of Peter and I touring Berlin in 2020 when Peter was a member of parliament in Germany. He is a member of the AfD party, the only party of any sanity of relevance in Germany. They're actually now the most popular party, according to polling, recent polling, which is no surprise. So anyways, we were invited there in 2020, and Peter actually invited me to come cover an AfD conference there. Peter's interestingly enough, is a refugee, a proper asylum seeker from Czechoslovakia. He was born there during the communist regime, and his family fled to Germany. And ever since, he has made it his mission to make Europe a better place, to defend Europe, to defend Germany. And he's a great patriot, and in 2020 took me around, and this is actually kind of relevant in many ways to the conversation that we're now having in the United States about Antifa. I think that Americans were probably a little blindsided by the Antifa thing years ago. Obviously, it's become more of a pressing issue, but I lived in Europe for many years, and since 2016, 2015. And actually was privy to seeing kind of the rise of Antifa in Europe. They were well established, of course, there much before they were in the United States. And I actually got there, flew in the morning and arrived in Berlin and was having coffee with Peter. This is back in 2020. And he said, hey, check this out. And he shows me a video of police officers and Antifa having a Gangs of New York style battle in the streets in Berlin. And he said, look, there's this Antifa squat house. They've been living in this this residential building for many years in Berlin. And the German authorities called in 2,500 police officers from around the country to rout these Antifa terrorists out of the building. They dragged them out and arrested many of them. And then in the aftermath, they were kind of allowed to congregate in the street outside the building. And Peter brought me there to the scene where it was, like I said, 2,500 police officers were on scene throughout the day with militarized vehicles in order to keep these people from going back into the house. And so we were there right in the heart of it. And so that was really eye-opening to see. And then right after that, he took me to what amounted to the headquarters of a bunch of different NGOs. Many of them are still in operation today, who are responsible for ferrying African migrants across the Med into Europe. And they all operate out of this one office, essentially. It's kind of like a shell office where they were. And he said, look, I want to show you the placard here that shows all the different NGOs that operate here. We can do a report. You're going to have about 5 minutes before Antifa gets here, and they will assault us if we're not out of here by then. So I said, wow, I'm here with an elected official, and we have to worry about Antifa attacking us. And sure enough, as soon as we walked up to the building, they had a scout outside the building, and she notified Antifa to come. And so we made it about 3 or 4 minutes before we saw them kind of starting to march down the street, come towards us. And so we bailed out of there at that time. So that really gave me a really clear look at how dangerous Antifa was. And Peter explained that the German government actually funds Antifa through funneling millions and millions of euros through their different various projects, their art houses, their coffee shops. And so he really got a picture of what was going on in Germany. And I started telling people, look, this is going to come to the United States. It already is. We're starting to see signs of it. So anyways, 5 years later, Peter is now a member of European Parliament. And during the campaign to when he was running last year, there were these shadowy NGO, media NGOs, one of them identified as the OCCRP, that were drumming up this insane smear campaign against Peter. And the German government was using these media reports as a reason to investigate Peter, and his residences, his properties were raided 23 times in the last year to a year and a half by German authorities just as a result of this media smear campaign. So you see how the government works hand in glove with these media organizations and NGOs to target politicians and candidates who are opposed to globalism, opposed to the EU project, and opposed to mass migration in Europe. So it's been chilling to see what Peter's gone through. He's never been credibly accused of anything, no wrongdoing, no charges have been brought against him. And now he is serving as a member of European Parliament. And he said things are starting to turn in the direction of European citizens, patriots who are opposed to everything that's going on there. And he is confident that if they're able to continue pushing forward, they will be victorious, and that AfD should do very well in the next elections. But he warned that if they don't, just as Elon Musk said, Germany is done.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad to see unravel, because it's not just obviously Germany. It's happening all over the European region. And I think people are starting to have enough of it. They've been guilted into this invasion. They've been guilted into accepting this radical left-wing agenda. And I think this is like the tipping point for them. But I want to talk a little bit about Antifa in Europe, because again, a lot of times I know a lot of Americans say, oh, let's just focus on what's happening here in the States. But what you're seeing in Europe is us in a few years. I mean, that's our future. And so when it comes to Antifa, what's the status of it in Europe? Because you don't really hear much of it in Europe anymore. Does it still really exist? And is it as powerful as it once was?
Oh, indeed. They're very active in Europe. It was amazing to me, because I had never heard of them until I got there in 2016. I mean, we knew, of course, about radical left-wing extremists, but I had never seen it's a semi-organized group. They're decentralized, but they're also organized under this banner, the Antifa flag. And I would encounter them anytime I went to cover an event. I went to Paris multiple times to cover the Yellow Vest protests. Antifa was heavily present there. The Black Bloc attired left-wing cockroaches that turn up anytime there's a reason to agitate. They're quite violent. In some cases, they co-opt what are otherwise pretty meaningful and reasonably based protest movements like the Yellow Vests, and they just create all-out violence. I watched them tearing up the cobblestones out of the streets in Paris and throwing them at the police, setting massive fires, throwing Molotov cocktails through storefronts during those protests. And those attacks, many of them got blamed on kind of middle of the road French who were just fed up with the way their government was operating, and the mainstream media was able to kind of pin these Antifa attacks on the broader movement, which I thought was inaccurate, certainly, and very unfair. But they've been like this all throughout Europe. We've seen massive protests in Germany that Antifa participates in every year on May Day. They tear up European cities. They set cars on fire. And they work hand in hand with migrants. They are pro-migrant. They are, in my opinion, these NGOs that operate in the Med are basically Antifa of the seas. And they're quite powerful. And they receive state funding, as I mentioned. And so that thing has been growing for decades. In Europe, some of these Antifa in Europe they traveled to Syria to get combat training and learn more about how to fight in very aggressive ways with IEDs and weapons in Syria, and then bring that training back into Europe and utilize it there. And I'm pretty sure that some of the American Antifa, very aggressive ones, have gone over to learn from the Europeans, and the Europeans have trained them to become more militant. And as we've seen in recent years, where Antifa at first, I would say, in, you know, the 2016 to 2020 era was a little bit on the goofier side, definitely dangerous, but goofy. They're starting to become more organized and better trained. And of course, we see that culminating with what looks like at least some sort of Antifa type involvement in the assassination of Charlie Kirk.
Isn't that something? It's infuriating, Dan. It really is. That this has been a global effort, and very few have actually stuck their neck out to stop this from happening. Right before we wrap up, I want to get your take. The president, I'm speculating, is probably going to sign an executive order later today in regards to Antifa and designated as a terrorism organization, because he did put out the Truth Social post, and I did look at his schedule. There is an executive order that he is going to be signing today at 3 p.m. What do you think the president needs to focus on here? Because the financial backing from it is what we've been talking about it for quite some time. Now he sounds like he's open to going after whoever's backing these far-left groups. What do you make of the president's change in tone in all of this?
Well, this is something that absolutely had to happen. Antifa has to be recognized as a foreign terrorist organization, a domestic terrorist organization, however it needs to be viewed. There is some debate about how the funding can actually be attacked, because I think it's kind of like the normicon view that, for instance, George Soros is pouring money into Antifa, but that's not really the case. Maybe pouring money into groups that eventually funnel funding into groups like these Antifa cells throughout the United States. But Carlin Borishenko, who is really just deeply embedded in this stuff, she actually embeds with Antifa to infiltrate them and see, you know, what goes on behind the scenes and with these radical left groups, has said that she doesn't think — she was on Jesse Waters last night on Fox News saying she doesn't think that the administration fully understands how to go after these people. They aren't necessarily funded by big money. She said a lot of it is a result of mutual aid, them funding each other. That remains up for debate, but I think that the federal government certainly has the tools. If they have the tools to go after everyone who was present in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, then they certainly have the tools to go after anyone that is operating with these groups, because they have social media presences, they have Telegram chats or Signal chats, however they organize, and those could certainly be could be reviewed and to identify who these people are. And the ones that are really active, who are kind of like the leaders in their local groups, are identifiable. Andy Ngo has done great work with that. Katie Davis Court has done great work with that. And if the federal government just wanted to like grab one group, one Antifa cell, all they have to do is go to Portland to the ICE building there and just start rounding people up, because that's all Antifa that's been attacking the ICE building there for weeks and months now. And Katie Davis Court has done a great job of documenting that. And they've operated in similar ways across the country, attacking various ICE facilities. So I think that they definitely have the tools, but they have to really go after these people. They have to rout them out, because they are absolutely dangerous. They're totally deranged. Many of them are trans. And so we are facing a new era of extreme left-wing violence and terrorism in this country. It needs to be addressed immediately.
Yeah, it needs to be taken seriously. And, you know, you mentioned the reporter, Katie. I mean, she's been abused, assaulted, chased. They've done everything to her, and she still shows up and still covers it. That's the reason why so many journalists don't even bother to go to these burning events. I don't even know what you want to call them, because they're not rallies, they're not protests, although they'll pretend like it's all protected by protests. It's not. But she still shows up, and you got to give credit where credit's due. Dan Lyman, I'm going to give you credit too, my friend. You do an incredible job over at Infowars.com, bringing us the very latest, everything that everyone else is afraid to talk about. So we appreciate all that you do. Give him a follow on X as well, because you're posting stories there too. And we are a big fan of all that you are doing. Thank you, Dan. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Brianna. Welcome to the American Journal. Congrats on your first week.
I know. It's been an eventful one, that's for sure. Thank you, Dan. I appreciate it. Folks, I want to talk about how egregious House Democrats are, because, again, Charlie Kirk was just assassinated over a week ago, and they can't even pull it together to pretend to care for someone who lost his life. We just saw in the House that they had a vote regarding a bill that would honor Charlie Kirk, and it would condemn the violence. And over 58 Democrats said no. Let's take a listen in, because we do have a soundbite from that. So let's give that a listen.
Well, we just got some breaking news here, Chad, that Hakeem Jeffries, the leader of the Democrats, the House Democrats, just voted yes. He's a yes on honoring Charlie Kirk, and AOC just voted no. So there is the divide right there within the Democratic Party on a resolution that really should be bringing everyone together. Thank you, Chad Pergram, live on the Hill for us with that breaking news. Let's bring in Shannon Bream now. Give us your take on, you know, this is a resolution that is very simple, very easy to understand, and there it is. It's final now. Let's listen in.
Voting present are 38. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, a motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
There it is. It has passed in the House, this resolution to honor Charlie Kirk. Shannon, your takeaway on this divide we're looking at right now on the House floor where Democrats couldn't move themselves to vote yes on this.
Well, and you've got several of them out there that are publicly saying that they think of Charlie's legacy as something much different than Republicans do. We talked about this with the speaker on Fox News Sunday and some comments from Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, who has said, you want to call people's bleep out on this. They're trying to rewrite his legacy and calling him a hateful person. Republicans will say, go watch his clips, the things he's being accused of, racism and bigotry and these other things. You'll see that melt away if you watch the conversation he had with people. They were uncomfortable. They were difficult, but he was laughing. He would hug people. They feel like he's been mischaracterized. And so for that respect, they say this is a resolution that everyone should be able to vote for. But you mentioned some of the key players like AOC, for example. We talked earlier about her potentially running in 28 or running for the Senate or running for the White House. So the party very much has to decide what it is.
Let's talk a little bit about who voted no on this. Democrats, there's a long list of them, but let me give you some of the familiar names. Obviously, Jasmine Crockett, because she's a hateful troll, voted no on this, as well as Al Green from Texas, it looks like. Let's see. Johnson in Georgia. He's another one, doesn't even know it was one of them. Didn't he say, like, I don't understand? I think it was Alaska or something where he said, I don't even understand how it's still standing with all the people on it. It should sink. I mean, something egregious like
that. The island of Guam.
Yes. Yes. Let's see. We have AOC as well. Ilhan Omar, Presley as well, voting no on this. I mean, the list goes on. These are all a bunch of Rashida Tlaib, obviously. These are all the regular suspicious characters who hate this country, who are treasonous pigs, all unable to stand and say that Charlie Kirk should be honored. It's because they've rewritten their own narratives in their head to justify their hate, justify why they don't like Charlie Kirk. But the reality is Charlie Kirk would have had a conversation with all of them, even though they're all a bunch of communist, treasonous pigs. He would have never backed down. And that's the difference. They will sit here and continue to demonize the man who they had killed based on their rhetoric, not even acknowledging the fact that his children are now going to be growing up without a father. They're just absolutely egregious and disgusting and deplorable human beings, but it's not surprising. That is the left these days. They are the enemy. Folks, we're about to conclude my first week as your host on American Journal. Thank you for joining me. I want to remind you all we have an incredible sale going on right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. You got to head on over there. It's the 1-year anniversary fundraiser sale for this week only. Some of your favorite items on sale, $25 hats and t-shirts. Those are normally $35, as well as when you spend $75. We're going to give you a free $11 to spend at the store. No code needed for that. Thank you for joining me on American Journal today. It was an honor to have you on the program. The Alex Jones Show is starting in just a few moments. Do not go anywhere. There's a lot more happening on InfoWars. Stick with us.
Oh, here it is. Bovine Colostrum Plus. This is what I was looking for. This is the only thing that works on a monstrous stomach like mine. If it works for me, it will work for you. Order yours at the website below.
Alex on a top-secret shoreline mission to handpick nature's vitamin-packed sea moss before the globalists patent it. He's scooping it up like it's Cyber Monday in the supplement aisle. But suddenly, the 20-foot-tall sea moss mutant erupts from the tide pool like Godzilla. Alex dashes like he just saw a new Fauci vaccine. Will he make it or become the monster's meal? To be continued.